B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
All right, we begin the Monday edition of the Junk and Cage Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic when we welcome back Jamie Lynch from Baby Sabbatical.
Who?
Good to see you, Jamie.
Good to be back.
Great to have you back, James.
Oh, it's a lovely
way
to start.
Same little gurgle in the
I was going to say a nice little crackle in the ear to start the morning.
Yeah, it really just does. We have very good luck. We have very good luck in here. Our 6 a.m. hour is brought to you by our friends at Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. Patrick, how are you? Now it stopped. No, now it's,
yeah,
it's
Bob's. Back. Bob's got to move.
It's Bob's. It's Bob's
right.
mic.
See no? you guys.
Is it? Turn off your mic.
Yeah, it is.
Turn off your mic, Bob.
Test. See.
Turn it off. There you go. A little bit better. It must be Bob's.
It's got
sounded like a gurgling. There you go. So now it's fine. Now
we'll get fixed by 10.
We'll switch, Bob. I think right around 10:01.
Yeah, 10:01.
It'll be ready to go. Hey, Bradford White Water Heaters are here for the pro. We love Bradford White, and we appreciate them and their patronage of the program. So Nick Sirianni put himself on an entirely different pressure clock with me after Friday. And I got to traverse this during a flight back to Atlanta for the weekend. His absolute refusal to acknowledge that his play calling and results are subpar completely infuriates me. If he accepted that he has been horrible at it so far and vowed to change things up, I think I'd be like, okay, this guy's aware. This guy understands. This guy can't even acknowledge what everybody has seen. Instead, he goes with more gobbledygook about, well, we self-scout more than anybody, and that's all we do is we self-scout and we self-criticize. And every week we sit down and we look at everything that we do and everything. Well, guess what, Nick? You suck at it. You have now documented, said that every week since week two. So for five consecutive weeks, you tell us, well, we self-scout and no one's more critical on us than me. And I pick myself apart and I do that. You're not doing it right. And you're not understanding that you're crappy at it. You're stubborn. And to me, that tells me it's borderline arrogant because you ignore everything about best practices in the NFL. And then you try to justify it with your word salad in press conferences the day after games. You can do it all, Nick. We get it. You can be a head coach. You can call the plays. You can design the game plan. I get it. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm in for 11 more games. Because you obviously don't care what your customers think. You obviously are failing in the self-awareness argument. So I'll give you 11 games. I'll give you 11 more times. And I can promise you this. If this, again, if you can't acknowledge that what you're doing sucks, and it's not working, and you're telling us some, you're self-scouting yourself. You're asking the guy who cheats on his taxes to work for the IRS and review your taxes. Let someone else put their eyeball. Let someone else make a decision. 11 more games. I'll give him 11 because I'm not going to. But it's so bad to hear him speak. It's almost like we have to listen to Joe Judge. And that's where we begin with the returned Jamie Lynch, Bob Cooney, Pat Egan, the coach Eric Camille. We got Mike on directing on YouTube, and we got Connor Thomas with you if you want to chime in at 610-632-0975. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Do we have that Nick Sirianni from talking about his at all? Anything with Nick? I'm sorry, Pat, if I had, I meant to send that. I should have sent it to Connor. Hold on that.
Well,
Bobby.
Let's not forget, we have Speak the Truth coming up later. So,
yes.
Yeah,
he's just.
Or speak for yourself.
Or
whatever.
Speak for yourself. Yeah, whatever. Or speak, whatever we call it.
You know, he's going to speak the truth.
Yeah.
I
go back and forth on this, John, right? Would I, if I'm trying to evaluate a head coach, it's only six games, we know that. What if he did give up something? Wouldn't that make you feel also like, oh my God, he's quitting on that already? After six games, he's given up. Do I want this guy as a head coach? He came in, said he was a play caller and a head coach. And after six games, he says, no, I can't do this. I mean, what would your reaction be to that?
My reaction would be self-awareness. How about this one for you, Bob? I want him to say we've been really bad at it.
Yeah, I know.
I want him to acknowledge that the NFL is laughing at him. By the way, two pregame shows yesterday pointed out how ridiculous the Eagles' run-pass ratios are. How it's the craziest thing they've ever seen in 6 weeks in the NFL. In the history of the NFL, nobody has been this bad.
Yeah.
And he refuses to acknowledge it. He says, well, we self-scout. We self-scout. Well, the people who are self-scouting don't seem like they're that on the ball.
Yeah, his explanation sounds horrible. It sounds like he's not self-aware when you know he is. I mean, you know that he hears the boos. You know that he knows what's being talked about. Nobody's in a cocoon here that doesn't know what people are saying about them when you're a professional, especially in this town. So he knows it. How does he change it? I don't know, but his acknowledgement of it is just crazy. He went into defense mode last week.
Yes.
Oh, we're running RPOs. I don't care what you guys say. RPOs are runs. It's just, you know, what we decided
and that's
to do.
Such crap.
You know, last night I'm watching, or yesterday afternoon, or whatever it was, watching a game where somebody went under center quarterback and actually turned around and handed it off to a running back going full speed, coming out of the backfield. And I was like, wow, that doesn't look all that hard.
No, it really isn't.
You know? Give the ball to the quarterback, he turns and hands it off with his right hand to a running back who has a full head of steam coming from the backfield.
Not hard. It's not hard.
We never see it.
His inability to acknowledge that what he's doing is the worst run-pass ratio that has ever been in the NFL through 6 weeks. It's nonsense. And he won't acknowledge that what are you like? He looks at the media like they're odd, Jamie. Like I don't know what you guys are. We're self-scouting, dudes. We're looking at everything we're doing. And he's being mocked. He's being mocked about it on national pregame shows going, they're not really doing Jalen Hurts anything.
Well, if you're going to be bad, you might as well go for it, right? And just be really bad. Historically, monumentally
bad. Welcome back, Jamie. Welcome back, Jamie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's strive for something here. If you're going to be crappy, be the crappiest. No, it's very perplexing. You know, when Bob just said that, I was thinking about the Ravens game yesterday. They lost their entire running. They lost their top three running backs. They got guys off the street in Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell. And you watch them run an offense, and it looks like Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell are like all pros again.
It does.
Like they're just hitting holes. The offense is moving. It allows Lamar Jackson a little bit more freedom and his legs to be respected. I don't know why this isn't a running-based offense. Between Miles Sanders and Jalen Hurts, and Gainwell, and use their legs as the foundation of your offense, and then everything can spring from that. I brought that up week two or three. I was like, I don't know why their identity isn't this. You have two guys that are very good at the NFL level with their legs. Base your offense around Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders' legs, and the passing game can come from it. It's not rocket science.
Pat, you know they lost opportunities for Gainwell the other night. They sort of had plans for him in the game plan, and then we sort of got lost in doing different things.
Love hearing that.
He loses an impact player like Gainwell. He just forgets that he's got him.
I love a coach that gets lost so easily. Like, I love it.
So
I absolutely
incredible.
Love it. What the hell did this guy say to Howie and Jeffrey and the figureheads that got him this job? Like, I really do. Like, did they even discuss his game plan, his offensive philosophy? Because I guarantee that it didn't include this, because if it did, he never would have gotten the job.
Did Frank Reich sell them a bill of goods on this guy? Did Frank Reich, like, want to do a favor to this guy and get him a head coaching job?
Because he is so...
Or, what Pat just said, how he wouldn't have gotten a job if this was his offensive game plan... This is an ownership group that got mad at running the ball 2 years ago in Green Bay after a win.
There's no way they can support
this. Look, I'm not saying they like this ratio.
They're getting mocked.
But that could have gotten him his job.
If it comes out that, not comes out, but if it's of the thought that Frank Reich had a lot to do with Nick Sirianni getting this job.
By just setting him up and saying, this is a good guy, he's smart,
okay.
He's really on the ball, and he's
when
not.
When was the last time that happened? Doug Peterson. Andy Reid, Doug Peterson, probably called them and said, you know, why don't you give him
a shot?
Can this ownership group think on their own without anybody having a heavy hand into saying, here, here's your next guy?
It should have been Kellen Moore.
That makes you, it makes you wonder, like, how much in control is Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman when it comes to that critical decision of selecting a coach?
It is so staggering to hear. I just want, and again, I understand what you're saying, Bob, about, like, if he had said, oh, I'm giving up play calling.
Yeah, I'm just that people throwing would, that out
people,
there.
No,
yeah.
But I mean, I understand what you're saying. You're making a good point, is that there would be people. I would not be critical of it. I would be saying, okay, this guy realizes learning to be a play caller and learning to be a head coach are too, they're too big for him. He's not, every time he steps behind a microphone, he's not prepared. And it ends up the first press conference may have been very, very telling. And a lot of us backed off of it going, like me, backed off of it saying, boy, at training camp, when he talks football, I really enjoy it. Yeah, when he talks football where there's no accountability, when he's talking about football practice, he's very good at talking about it.
Yeah.
But when he's talking about what did you do during the game when the clock was ticking, what were you thinking?
Well,
he can't articulate. He can't.
Losing is a stinky body odor, right? I mean, he looks like, yeah, he presents well when things are optimistic and hopeful and in season when he's scrambling for answers up there on the podium.
He doesn't have them.
He doesn't have them. But he's got a cool Dr. J hoodie on prior to the game, John. So.
Oh, so you see, now I heard, now here you go in there. It's the pandering. It's the pander. People love the pander. Oh, it's great. Look at him in Dr. J hoodie.
To be honest with you, I thought it was going to die down by now. Now it's just getting a little weird.
Well, look, John hit it perfectly. It's what he does well, right?
What he does well.
People love it. So he's struggling to find something he does well as the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Pandering.
And if that's the only thing there is, you're going to get a lot of it.
Do they love it, though?
Who? Like,
I think the media
eats it up.
I don't hear many media members now loving it.
I don't think the media gives two craps.
I think it's overblown at this point. I think the narrative is that everybody loves it, but in reality, everyone's sick of it.
Okay,
losing.
I'm going to tell you that if you look at the before pregame, there are at least six media members who tweeted out something of, look at the Dr. J hoodie.
That doesn't mean they like it. They're reporting it.
Yeah, because of the fact that they might find it as ridiculous as
that's not reporting.
Here we go again. Like,
they're just throwing it out there for the fans that can't be at the stadium.
Yeah, I get it. This is awesome.
I bet you most of them find it as ridiculous as you. Why don't they say it? Why don't they say it
on their reporting then? On their opinionating.
Well, they're reporting, not opinion.
Give opinion. They're there to report the game.
Well, I see a lot of opinions sneaking to a lot of the people that are sharing that. Go and look at the feed for Monday.
You name names.
I'm not going to throw them under the
bus.
Look at everybody.
Don't you do that.
There's
coward.
At least six.
They're yellow belly.
There's at least six that were like, look at he's rocking the Dr. J.
I think you're just throwing out number six because that was Dr. J.
He's rocking the Dr. J.
Was he? I mean, you're making it sound like the media is like, oh, look at him. Look. They're just reporting what he's having. He's wearing the Dr. J jersey today. I mean, if they didn't tell us that and you weren't at the game, you wouldn't know it. So they're just reporting. They're telling you what's going on.
We should thank them. They gave us this four
minutes.
Yeah,
they gave us that big scoop. Hey, more expensive gas and groceries. Some in Congress are pushing tax hikes on business. With government spending that'll make inflation worse, Congress wants to protect hardworking Americans. Business Roundtable paid for that little information for you there. We appreciate them. The Kraken and the Flyers tonight, 7 o'clock on the Fanatic.
I watched that Kraken opener with the Golden Knights.
That was awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, they have a great...
I'm happy for Seattle. I love that town.
You watched a lot of TV over the last week.
Yeah, a lot of sports. A lot of late-night sports. It was nice.
How did it feel, staying up to all hours of the night? I mean, how is that?
Well, she forced me to sleep because one of us had to sleep. So I wasn't too bad. I mean, our normal sleep schedule is not great, so I'm kind of used to it. But, yeah, I got to stay up and watch a lot of baseball and late-night college football, like the Tennessee-Matt Corral game. On Saturday, it was great. You know,
the Tennessee fans are great, aren't they?
Oh my God!
Wow!
Who the hell carries a mustard bottle with them?
No, but I'm going to tell you that
you don't.
I've seen three games in Neyland Stadium, and I can tell you as far as places to go, that just the people are like fun and party and are kind. And that was disgusting.
Yeah, it was not good.
And if that happened in Philadelphia, we'd still be hearing about it on the news.
Yeah. If that happened at Penn State, they would relate it to Philadelphia.
And golf balls.
You know?
Golf balls. You're throwing a golf ball at someone? You could do serious damage.
Oh, yeah. You could kill somebody.
And now they hate him there.
Yeah.
You got to say, they do hate him there. And by the way, they hate him in Tennessee, and they have every right to.
Yeah,
He was a D to them. But worse than that, he was a D.
Yeah.
And said some things, too, on the way out the door that pissed a lot of them off. But we have another story that we're going to be all over this week, and I think it is the potential greatest story that we've gotten to talk about in a long time. Ben Simmons will speak tomorrow. He's being made available tomorrow. It says he'll be available tomorrow. Ben is out there on the practice court with his teammates. Bob, what do you hear? Just what are you hearing ear to the ground as far as the return of Ben Simmons and how this thing might actually shake out?
It's not good. It has to happen, so it's happening type of thing. I mean, look, the guys can say all that they want about being professional. You know, hey, he's here, he's part of the team, he makes us better, all that stuff. He basically said, I don't want to be around you guys. They know it. They feel it. I mean, Tobias Harris was great yesterday, and I was texting with somebody about it, how he said, oh, yeah, it wasn't weird at all, and just started laughing. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. This whole situation is just crazy. I don't know. What do you do? Like, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. What do you do come Wednesday night if Simmons is a go? Do you sit him on the bench and you put him in with the third team? You wait till it's a blowout and throw him in there? Do you try to embarrass him without embarrassing him?
No, I do not try to embarrass him.
Like, do you put him in the last 5 minutes of a blowout and just say, well, we're just trying to get his win back? I mean, you know, you could do a lot of things if you're the Sixers here to not make him look good. But it's not a good situation. I think it is just, all right, we're buying our time until we can get him out of here. I can't imagine this guy doing anything to stay here all year.
Sixers hold all the cards, though, Jamie. And that's the thing is that, too, is now, even in league circles, the story seems to be, well, the Sixers have got them. Sixers have got Simmons camp right where they want them. But this doesn't seem to benefit the Sixers.
Nobody wins.
Anyway.
Nobody wins in this situation. Ben's probably going to end up in a smaller marketplace where maybe that's what he actually does want. So some of the eyes get off of him. But the Sixers in no way win. I mean, look at this team. Everybody had to answer about him yesterday. From Furkan Korkmaz to Tobias to Seth. All these guys are getting asked about Ben day after day. Not only did they have to deal with this weird ego coming into camp now after he told his team basically, nah, now they have to get asked about it by the media every day. They have a season opener on Wednesday, and it's not even close to the story with this team. The season is starting, and there's no buzz because Ben Simmons is a gray cloud hanging above them, sapping all the energy from it. There's no way this will work, and it's not going to work, and I completely understand why his teammates want nothing to do with him.
And trust me when I tell you, I put my whole heart and soul in this. Players hate nothing worse than having to answer about another player.
Yeah, you could see in their faces yesterday.
Nothing, and it gets to be so... such a distraction and such a... They don't want to even be there.
No.
You know, people say, oh, I can't believe the media didn't ask more about Ben Simmons because you're running the risk of losing these guys altogether.
Yeah. He is the definition, you say it there, Jamie. He is the absolute definition of an energy vampire.
Yeah.
That he's bringing down the whole buzz of the season.
It's funny you say that. You don't watch What We Do in the Shadows, do you?
Man, I was thinking the exact same thing, Jamie.
Because it's a mockumentary show on FX about vampires, okay. And one of the vampires is kind of like this lame vampire that doesn't have like the skills the other guys, but he's an energy vampire. And what he does is he just sucks the mood out of everything, and that's Ben Simmons to this franchise right now.
I don't think he is above any tactic. Either. So I'm waiting for another shoe to drop.
That could happen.
Great thought. Something has to happen before Friday.
Because if he's an energy vampire, Pat, he's going to pull something, and I don't mean pull something literally, but it could be.
No, if he has to speak to the media, he's got to say something.
What's he gonna, I wonder what he does.
Yeah, That actually might be a press conference. Normally, I don't watch press conferences because I just a lot of it they say is nonsense.
Oh,
this one I'll be dialed into.
Oh gosh, yes.
Because if he's,
I can't wait. I don't know what he does.
I need to hear his explanation.
I think
how do you word this?
My guess, just my guess. He is going to play some sort of a. If people attack, he's going to play some sort of tactic where if people attack him, they are going to look like the bad people. So I'm guessing mental fragility. I'm mentally fragile. And if somebody critiques me, then they're going to look like they're awful people. Because the reason this has all come about is it's a mental fragility. And I'm having mental issues with this.
I brought this up to you guys a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't making light of it at all and didn't feel real comfortable saying it on air. But now that you bring it up, it could be a case where he does say, I have some mental health issues, and I am struggling with things, and maybe he comes out and says that. And
then if you critique him, we look like a-holes.
Yeah, and if he does, okay, I'm all for go take care of it and stuff like that. Maybe that's his time away. I don't know. But I remember being in that gym many, many times where you couldn't wait to see the guy walk towards you. It was Jahlil Okafor after a fight. It was Andrew Bynum when all that crap was going on. It was, you know, Sam Hinkie having to answer a question about trading the Rookie of the Year. You know, those are really cool days as a reporter waiting to find out what these guys are going to have to say tomorrow. You know, they're saying it's either today or tomorrow, most likely tomorrow.
Right.
Well, if it's most likely tomorrow, I'll bet he talks today because it doesn't give a chance for ESPN and all these people to get in here.
Here's the tactic, though, that also I would think is he goes along the lines of that you had all offseason to work on whatever you feel you got to work on. Well, when you're over at Wimbledon, when you're doing your running around, when you're having your lavish parties, when you're doing all these things, you had all the time in the world to deal with.
He's been seeing somebody for a while, so he has a trump card if he needs it.
I think he's going to play. I really do. I think that's what he's going to play. And then it's going to be Philadelphia, if you boo me,
yeah,
the world's going to think you're a bunch of bullies and a-holes.
He could flip this around real quick.
And I think that's going to be the tactic because this has all been tactical. This has all been arranged. This has all been something.
It's been also handled so poorly.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, it's terrible.
but it's been tactical.
All right, you want to jump in with us, you can, too, at 610-632-0975. The Eagles head off to Las Vegas this week, and we will join them out in Las Vegas, which will be fun. Some athletes built for Philadelphia, some not. This guy certainly was. John Kincaid Show on the Fanatic. It was chilly. I had to put the heat on last night for the first time. So that meant that, well, the chilly months are ahead of us. What about your house? Was it a little drafty last night? Were you feeling a little chilly in your bed? Well, how about buying two windows and getting two free? How about changing out those windows? Buy two, get two free. No money down, no payments, no interest until October of 2023. That would be an amazing value. That would be a Window Nation deal. Window Nation, go to windownation.com and look at all the windows they've got, all the colors, all the styles. It's absolutely amazing. And they can give you this great deal right now. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you know you can trust them. Two windows. Buy two, get two. So you got 20, you're paying for 10. No money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. You're going to love these folks. They're going to measure three times to make sure it's a perfect fit. You're going to love Window Nation. Call 866-90-NATION. Get that house up to snuff before winter comes. 866-90-NATION.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike said that Connor has a seaweed wrap and a facial plan before going to Vegas. So he'd look good.
He's looking all his best.
He's going to be in his glory out there.
There's not really, it isn't really pool season, though. Like, Jamie was like, the other day, the pool season.
80 degrees? Yeah, Connor will be at the pool strutting around.
It's going to be, it won't be the party scene like it normally
is. He doesn't need pools to be in heaven out there.
It's going to be fantastic. We will be in Las Vegas, live broadcast Friday morning. Jamie will be here for a 6 a.m. start. We will be starting at 3 a.m.
Paige, what a loser.
Yeah, Paige is really taking some cool things from me this
Come
past
on,
week.
Come on, Paige.
You got the Darren Dalton outing, you got Center Ice last Friday, and now Vegas.
Think about this the next time you want to have sex.
Come on, Paige.
She's taking some cool experiences.
Paige is really messing with you.
Yeah,
She is messing with you. Pete in Princeton wanted to chime in on the Ben Simmons story. Pete, good morning. You're on the Fanatic. How are you?
Morning, guys. I love the fact that you brought this up because I've been thinking about it for a while now. And that is, even a couple hosts last week said, if Ben Simmons comes out and claims mental issues, the actual people said, I will change my opinion and have a lot of sympathy and my thoughts would change.
Sphinx to say what? They're going to change your opinion? This has been an completely orchestrated affair.
100%.
This is manipulation of the mind. If now it's going to be spun into some tale of this is the reason I did all this.
100%. And that is why. And just think, you know why he's doing that. What happened when Brooks asked out of a game because of mental issues the day of a game? Not one person has still said anything bad about that. What about the fact that no one has brought up what Lane Johnson is going through right now? Because if we criticize that, we get in trouble as fans.
See, I think that's different, though, Pete, and I appreciate it, buddy. Bob, I see a difference. Barrett Brooks, I see, is a different story. Brandon Brooks.
Brandon,
is a different story. Congratulations to Barrett, by the way.
Yeah. That was something we didn't know about. It was something that he had been battling on his own that he
documented.
Didn't bring public.
By the way, documented that he had been, we found it after the fact.
Yeah.
He'd been Barrett a long time.
Yeah. The Lane Johnson thing, he's going through something. Look, at the end of the day, people are human beings and they're not just, you know, robots that you put out there on a field and expect to perform. Those two in particular battled something and are battling something. The Ben Simmons thing, he's gone through a lot apparently with this whole family thing, his sister, all of that
stuff. Yeah, it's a pretty nasty case.
Yeah, that's crazy, crazy stuff that I can't even imagine. And it doesn't seem like he gets the best guidance from family members.
It kind of went under the radar that the brother was in the Australian papers. It was out that case is kind of closed. The brother's been, you know, let go of any charges against the sister or you know, accusations.
Yeah.
So like
that
was all
to pay a lot of money for that.
Yeah, she owes him good change, and that was all kind of below the radar stuff that was happening back in Australia. To Bob's point,
this orchestrated try to get me out of Philadelphia though doesn't have that. Is a completely different. I'm not talking to my teammates. I'm not taking a shot in Game 7, and more importantly, just the idea of. It's a now to spin it. This has been an orchestrated effort by Clutch Sports, well documented across the NBA that this has been their agenda to get him out of Philadelphia. And that he has been working a campaign. I'm not coming back. I'm done with it. I'm finished with it.
Yeah, I would love to know the origin of it all, where the seed was planted. What, you know, did he just after Game 7 go to them and say, look, do whatever you have to get me out? He certainly didn't try to stop it.
No.
I mean, if he blames anybody, as I said to you guys before, guys at Back Ben Simmons keep saying, look, he hasn't said anything. And that's true. That is the truth. He has not come out and said anything. But he's allowed stuff to be said.
Correct.
And that was
completely orchestrated.
Yeah.
This entire offseason has been an orchestrated effort that, by the way, has failed. It is a failed plan now. So now the plan may be, well, let me tell you something that takes total heat off of me.
Yeah, and I wasn't here last week. I don't know if you guys got into the Kurt Heelan piece, or that might have been Friday it came out.
Okay.
About him potentially, you know, lying or trying to get out of a Game 7 performance. Now looking back on that, you know, their excuses, well, Doc and Joe's comments after the game really stayed with him. Well, Doc and Joe may have said that because they knew you tried to get out of a Game 7.
Pat tried to get out of a show last week. He said we got him a COVID test. He passed.
Yeah.
It was the shootout with Mercedes.
Yeah.
Pat was not feeling it.
But right, doesn't it kind of Well, you look at those comments a little differently now, knowing that he potentially may have done that. And if he did that, every teammate and coach on the staff knew.
It's bigger than that. I mean, even if he didn't, even if he was telling the truth, the fact that there are people in the organization that believe it,
this
exposure is the troubling
part. This city would absolutely support an athlete with mental health issues that said, I need my time, I need my space, this is what's going on in my life, show me the proper respect. This city has already proven it. It's documented. This city will absolutely embrace the athlete. This city will not vilify the athlete. But to now, to come around, if that is the case, if that's the tactic, and again, this is all speculation, but if it's speculated now, and many are discussing that he's going to have a tactic, when it's revealed, he'll have a tactic that will be used.
I guess. I hope to God someone who is helping him out knows that the tactic has to be honesty.
Correct.
I mean, honesty has to be your tactic. And even if it is now, look, full disclosure here. It was, 3 weeks ago before a show that I came to you guys and said I had a source that told me this Game 7 story. I wasn't fully comfortable with it. That's why I didn't bring it up on the air. I checked around, sniffed around, and it appears to be true that he tried to get out of playing in a Game 7. That's horrible. That's a guy that doesn't want to play basketball. That's a guy that doesn't want to compete. This guy might be really struggling with, I want out of Philadelphia, but I don't even know if I want to play altogether.
I enjoy the money. I enjoy the fame.
Absolutely.
But I don't enjoy the game as much.
Yeah, I mean, to sit out in the Olympics, like, to me, that's just, I don't know how you could ever say no to your country's jersey. You know what I mean? Like, you must either one might have lost his love for the game, or two just doesn't want to compete. And both are pretty damning things for the Sixers.
I just hope that, again, I hope the guy finds whatever peace he needs to find in his life. I certainly hope he finds
it. Sure. On a personal level, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Find it. But don't now try to act wasn't some tactical thing, because he tried to make it about this city, which it never was.
And his teammates.
His camp. Tried to make it about teammates, tried to make it about city, tried to make it about coach, tried to make it about everybody.
A GM.
So don't try to spin it now as something else.
Yeah, they threw every excuse at
the
wall.
You failed in a power play that failed.
Mm-hmm.
So now don't go looking for sympathy on it. People will wish, this city would have wished him well, absolutely wished him well.
Absolutely.
He could have 3 weeks
ago
come out.
We've already shown it.
Yeah, he would have, if he came out with a tweet 3 weeks ago, when all this was, like, really bad, and said, my bad, coming back to work, I'll be better.
And I
said less than 10 words, and this city is so easy to get you to love you, just as easily as it is to get to hate you.
I am working on my game, Pat, and more importantly, I'm working on myself. I've been going through some personal issues that I ask for your support in, and I'm going to do everything I can to be ready to go.
And he didn't even need to say that. Like, he could have put out the video that's been going around of George Costanza from Seinfeld coming back to work after quitting and just said, my response on Friday when I show up to work. Like, that would have been good enough.
Like,
everyone would have laughed. It would have been like Mike Schmidt years ago coming out with the wig. It would have been tongue-in-cheek. The fact that he hasn't said anything and the fact that, this is going to be for an interesting press conference. I think we'll have something to talk about
tomorrow. There's too many people that can document that this was a power play to get out of this town. There are media members. There are members of other organizations. There's Clutch Sports people. There's too many people that were involved in the entire coup to now spin it as that it was something else. This really wasn't a power play. This was about me struggling.
I think they thought they saw a sliver of opportunity to blame the out on, and which was Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid's comments. They tried and was called out, and they lost.
They saw a lane, but he passed up the dunk.
Hey, Parx Sportsbook app has a great new offer. You sign up now, you get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Visit parxcasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Fanatic. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. Zach Ertz on Friday so eloquently articulated what makes a great Philadelphia athlete. Brilliant in its simplicity. And it also perfectly shows why Ben Simmons is such a monumental disappointment. Some people are built for the challenge. Some people have personal accountability. Some people falter in that situation. If Ben had just a modicum of the self-awareness of what we hear from Zach Ertz, and you're going to hear it next, it would be incredibly praiseworthy. I'm going to miss Zach Ertz. He symbolizes an era of unprecedented success with personal integrity and character. An ultimate eagle. Let's listen to him.
I think a lot of young players struggle with this. You know, you're told for so long how good you are in high school coming out. You're typically a pretty good player. You're a big-time recruit. You have college coaches telling you how good you are. And you kind of sort of expect it in society today. I think a lot of people, they want to be told how good they are. It's just not the case. It's not reality. It's okay to be told that you're not playing great. It's okay to be told that you need to be better. And in reality, no one should have to tell you that as a professional athlete. I could tell myself if I played well or if I didn't play well. I could tell you exactly how the fans are going to react based on how I played. So it is, for me, it's just what it is. You can't take it for more than what it is. These people love their team. This city loves their players. And they want to see us succeed as much, if not more, than we want to succeed. And so for me, that's what I loved about this place. People are honest. They're blunt. They don't care about you apologizing on a game on social media. They want you to see you put in the work Monday through Saturday to get better for Sunday. And for me, I think that's what I love. That's why I think I resonated in this city. It's because all I knew was how to work hard. That's why I love this place.
That was spectacular. That was spectacular from Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
And he summarizes it. And Bob, you've seen enough athletes that you've got to see a lot of athletes as a member of the media begin their career here. How many handled it as well as Zach Ertz did? To understand this city, understand the mentality, and understand what it was about.
Yeah, I think one of the first things that people are told, no matter what sport, athletes are told when they're drafted by this city is about this city. You know, it's not, here's what we're playing, here's the type of, the first talk is always, look, Philadelphia can be a great place to play, but it's really hard, too, if you don't handle it right. And I've seen, you know, from Evan Turner to other athletes that were here, that were drafted here, you know, it just wasn't for them. You know, I remember sitting with Evan Turner and him just asking me, it was almost like he was interviewing me. What am I doing that these people are calling me names? He goes, it's a basketball game. I'm not as good as they thought I was in this town, but they're taking, you know, like those. I said, you know, it's just play your game. Be you and don't worry about it. One of the nicest guys in the world, by the way, who people didn't see, like taking kids after games to do things and all that stuff. Couldn't be a nicer kid. But this city isn't made for everybody. But guess what? Either is Green Bay, either is Houston, either is whatever town you go to. It's incumbent upon you to make yourself likable, to have the city like you, and just give your all. And when you handle it the way Zach Ertz did throughout a 9-year career here in Philadelphia, it's really easy to be beloved. And if Zach Ertz didn't have the success, meaning winning a Super Bowl and all that, he still would have been beloved because of the way he handled the fans.
Yeah, but listening to that, because I heard it yesterday or this morning or somewhere, I just applied it to Ben Simmons. Like, if you just took those comments and applied it to the Simmons situations, you'd have polar opposites. I mean, talk about getting the fans and what we probably care more than you guys do. Because it's your job. It's our passion. Like, thank you for saying that. It's pretty obvious. I thought it would be something that's obvious to every athlete that comes through the doors of these buildings, but it's not. And Zach Ertz got it. Jason Kelsey gets it. A lot of these Eagles get it. I think Joel Embiid gets it. Ben Simmons doesn't get that. I mean,
have you seen Zach Ertz's lavish lifestyle?
No, I see all the foundation work he does.
He drives a Honda.
He drives a Honda.
It's pretty lavish. Yeah.
I mean, have you seen him living out loud? Hey, look at my, here's my menu for my party. Here's my Instagram lifestyle. There's a difference in who people are made up to be.
Yeah, and I hate that.
And he's not Zach Ertz is a football player first in every way, shape, and form. He was a football player first. His job, what made him famous, was what was most important to him, not being famous.
Mm-hmm.
It's what made him famous was the job. And he put it into it every day.
Yeah, it was a great answer. And I hate that teams might have to start taking the psychological evaluation of their draft picks into consideration. But Philadelphia front offices should absolutely take it into consideration because this is not every town USA. It's a different animal here.
Beasley put it in after Pat's hiring. That's what they decided, same type of thing. They wanted to have a much more stringent. I mean, Pat, you've been great. We love you here. We love having you here.
I'm going to get to my management.
You've been awesome. We love having you here.
No.
You understand.
I'm not going to comment anymore, all right? I'll comment tomorrow.
You want to go to Albuquerque?
Yeah, I'll comment tomorrow. I'll play for any other radio show. No, looking at this whole, the quotes, yeah. you wish that every athlete would have that that philosophy. I mean, there's no question that Zach Ertz, when he opened up Twitter, on more than one occasion would see no yak Zach. You know, I mean, it was said on these airwaves. It was said by hosts, by callers.
Yeah, I said it.
Yeah, who did it, right? No yak Zach. And by the way, no yak Zach is the reason why he's still playing, because he didn't beat up his body. But still, you know, Jamie said it on Twitter. Like, the guy pissed blood for the organization. How do you not love this guy? So he gets it, whereas Ben Simmons, it's just a reminder that people are different.
Hey, in Cooney's Corner, he's got more on how Howie Roseman deserves a little praise.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Howie Roseman doesn't know what he's doing.
He did in this case, didn't he, Bob?
He did. He did a solid here, and I really do believe that. For the robotic nature that Howie Roseman is and has been, and, you know, seemingly can do things without feeling at times, he had good feel here. He did Zach Ertz right. He got him a trade to a team that has a legitimate shot to win a Super Bowl. You know, he got something back. It was a good business move. You know, I'm reading Joe Banner's quotes about it this weekend. You know, he says, oh, it's about what I expected. I don't know if any of us really expected a draft pick and a player.
I did not.
A player at a position that, you know, you could look at in the future to see what he might be. But, you know, the way Howie described it, and we'll get into it a little bit more later, but the way Howie described it about he was in full communication with Zach Ertz. They didn't hide anything from him. I think he really did maybe have more than one. This is just my thinking. Maybe he had more than one offer, and he was in communication with Ertz. Like, where do you want to go? What would help you? Let me help you. So I have to give kudos to Howie Roseman on this. It's not something you usually see from him, and we know from Joe Banner before, these are cold. It's a cold position that you're in, and you have to be cold at it. And for this one time, he played his cards right. We knew that Ertz was going to be out of here. He did it. He got him to play one last game. Luckily, he didn't get hurt so that the deal still went through. They got him a touchdown. And you see Zach Ertz coming off the field crying and hugging everybody. And Howie Roseman, I have to give you a little bit bigger than a golf clap on this one.
Yeah, and also pretty cool of Steve Keim and the Cardinals to agree to that.
Exactly.
Because they could easily said, no, you're not playing them this week. We don't want to take that chance. So it was pretty cool on both ends to give that respect to an all-time Eagle. It was pretty cool the way it went down. You know, John Clark, I saw on the postgame show, was like, oh, yeah, Zach Ertz coming through the tunnel looked pretty emotional. And I was like, huh. He wouldn't be looking emotional after a loss like that. I was like, I guess something's up. And sure enough, it was. And that's cool. You know, when he had his touchdown celebration, I did notice live in real time, I was like, there was a little extra oomph to that. Now looking back on it, it's like, oh, yeah, that was his last touchdown at the link. That's pretty cool.
And he has 11 catches or 12 to break the record, right? Because he talked on Friday about maybe I'll come back at the end and...
Yeah,
get the 12 catches and
well, how many,
be the all-time record.
How many touchdown catches did he? What do you have, 38?
I don't know.
I think Mike Trout has 35 of those balls. But, yeah, it was cool. And it was cool because it worked out. But let's be real with ourselves. If it did not work out and he gets injured and word leaks out that there was a deal in place that was nixed because of the fact that he got injured, we would be ripping the organization.
And
we probably should. Like, this is a ballsy move by the team, and it worked out, and that's why it's cool.
And by the way, he let it be known on Friday he wanted a trade this offseason. He doesn't make the trades. And what did Zach Ertz do? Did he do a power play?
He dyed his hair.
Did he pout? Did he do a, I'm gonna pull a Ben Simmons? Nope. He came to work, came to training camp, embraced the new coaching staff, embraced his teammates, worked his ass off with an agreement, I guess, that if things didn't work out right, is sort of how he portrayed it, that he'd be gone. And he said it worked out better this way than if he had done it last offseason.
Yeah, sure.
It worked out better for him.
You got to do a farewell tour, unbeknownst to us.
Unbeknownst.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thought.
It's crazy.
That you're going out there, like, we don't see this much in sports, going out there knowing you're playing your last game. Like, that's Zach Ertz.
To do it.
They made him the captain. All of that stuff. They knew it. They knew it was the farewell tour. farewell game. They got him a touchdown. You know, there was a game inside a game going on there. And even though Sirianni said, oh, no, we didn't look to get him the ball.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome.
I have a feeling in that huddle, if it wasn't called for Zach Ertz, Jason Kelce might have been saying, hey, look at 86. He's going to be open.
By the way, I love how Zach did throw in there, though. I would have loved to have gotten the ball more this year. In his exit press conference, like saying this head coach doesn't know what the frick he's doing in his play calling.
I don't know. I might be reading a little too much into it.
I was. Jamie, it's the worst.
He's also on the downside of his career.
I understand, but it's the worst play calling in the history of the NFL to this point, 6 weeks.
In terms of balance, I wouldn't say it's the worst ever.
They're being mocked. They're being it's being mocked.
We'll get into this in a little bit.
Ridiculous. Unbelievable. We will get into that coming up. Jamie's back. Jamie's back in the house. He is not as sleep deprived as we expected.
Yeah, I'm just constantly sleep deprived. We do a morning show.
We thought you were going to be more sleep deprived. Nah, it was really
I'm doing all right. My wife's struggling.
You seem like you're doing well. You seem bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
I offered to milk the baby, but I can't, so it wasn't accepted, you know?
I offered to milk the baby.
Well, she had to be sizing him up a few times. Going, wait a minute.
I was like,
is this the second option? Yeah, is this the second option?
How many times did you have to say that, Paige? No, not mommy.
All right, I've got an opportunity for you to make a reflection. There may be somebody who would be better than Nick Sirianni to help this team. We'll get to it next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on a Monday morning on The Fanatic. And if you own a home, you need a trusted service provider stable that helps you out. H&H Heating and Air Conditioning is already on the team of the Kincaid family in our new home. I love it. They treat us like family. They are hardworking, honest Delco folks, a great family, been doing this since 1985, the three brothers, and they handle South Jersey. They handle Delaware. They handle all the counties in the area. Winter, I would like to know, since it's coming, and this isn't some scare tactic, it's going to get really cold. And your furnace may not be up to snuff. Go to DelcoHVAC.com. Check out H&H online. DelcoHVAC.com. Schedule a furnace tune-up for just $69 for a limited time. And while you've got H&H in your house, they can perform a routine carbon monoxide test so you can sleep soundly knowing your family's protected. We're talking 24-hour, 7-day-a-week emergency service, live person always at the other end of the phone. H&H is the best. There are go-tos. DelcoHVAC.com. Schedule that furnace tune-up for just $69 for a limited time. Do it today. DelcoHVAC.com. Winter's on its way. They're going to make your home ready. Send my regards, would you?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Vegas week kicks off on the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. And the 7 a.m. hour is brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino sportsbook app. Download it at parkscasino.com/PA. Use promo code Fanatic. Take advantage of some great deals. The Vegas trip, also known as Paige's Revenge. Young Paige Lynch keeping dad from doing things he wants to be able to do.
Well, Addie said
since
to me,
2021.
Addie goes, well, the next Vegas trip, you can go on
8 years.
And I was like, oh, cool. And 8 years. And she goes, oh. And I was like, yeah, it's all right.
It's 8 years.
It's not, it's, you know, it's once a decade.
If your mom said she'd swoop in and help, and her mom said she'd swoop in and help, and they came to her and said, come on, we do this. Would she say yes? And would you say, I'll do it? Because it could be a trap. Bob, you know this. Being married as long as we've been married. Yeah. You know there are traps that are laid for you in marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie wouldn't fall for it.
Yeah, I don't think I could.
So you wouldn't fall for it.
I'd have too much guilt.
Yeah, he's good that way.
See, I'd have too much guilt also.
Yeah. Is this the reason why you said Skylar was your favorite?
If it was 3 weeks from now, oh, I'd be in Vegas.
No, but that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd feel too much guilt.
Still fresh.
But there are traps that are laid for you.
Oh,
that you
have
to know how to maneuver the bear traps. Oh, no, you can do it.
Yeah.
If you'd like to do it, you can do it.
Yeah, sure.
I'll see. I just do it then.
See, I'm lucky. I'm very, very lucky. My wife doesn't do that crap a lot of times.
But yeah, I don't get a ton
baby,
of it either.
But a new baby?
I know my boundaries on this one.
But a new baby, I think the boundary would be assumed.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, one of those things where it wouldn't have to even be articulated. It would just be assumed.
Yeah, that is the card that you cannot play. When there's another face in the house, you kind of have to be there for a little while.
Yeah, I'm on lockdown.
Yeah.
So we will not, and it's not like, Pat, it's not like we're going to put out like fun videos or anything like that telling Jamie what he's missing.
Unfollow both station account and show account for the next 5 days.
No, are we supposed to put out videos?
It's not like at 3 in the morning, there's cocktail waitresses walking around where you can get a free cocktail as we're doing the show.
Yeah.
We could walk out onto the gambling floor and
get ourselves. They just give out Shirley Temples. Like, you don't have to pay for them?
You don't have to pay for anything, Pat.
What?
As long as you got that betting slip.
They're just sitting there just giving out grenadine?
Giving them out all you want. It'll be awesome.
You're an idiot, man.
It is awesome. Shirley's. Hey, what other play calling options could Nick Sirianni have turned to while he's been under duress? According to Nick Sirianni the other day, I guess it's, well, this is what we're doing, and there's no consideration of anything else, and there really isn't anybody ready to step up and take the job. Interesting. Shane Steichen is his offensive coordinator. He was under fire last year in Los Angeles. His offense was 18th in points scored with a rookie first-year starting quarterback. Well, that would be an upgrade. They averaged 382 yards a game. I know Jamie loves his yards. They were 6th in passing and 18th in rushing. They had a balance in their attack. Interesting. Rookie quarterback Shane Steichen understood we need balance for the rookie quarterback. He doesn't need to have so much more on his plate. That would be a lot more desirable than what Nick's vision is for Jalen Hurts. I know that Sirianni giving up play calling would look like a failure to some, but to me it would actually be a show of strength. It's a show of strength that I don't think his backbone is ready for, though. And I hate to think that, but I don't think he's up for it. Because I think the image of it, the imagery of it, would be too much for him to handle. And one thing we know, Nick Sirianni is obsessed with imagery. T-shirts and hats and messaging, that's what he's obsessed with. That's where we begin the 7 o'clock hour. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach, Eric Camille. We got Connor Thomas answering your calls at 610-632-0975. And we've also got the talented Heavy Chevy directing on YouTube and Twitch.tv. I understand the imagery of it, but Shane Steichen, who, by the way, they wanted him to take the reins off last year. Shane Steichen, I'm taking this from the LA Times last year. Steichen refuses to take the reins off. This kid is obviously a talented passer. He will not release. He will not let him have more to handle than he thinks he can handle. Shane Steichen was criticized over and over again for being 58%. At one time, one game he was 58% run. He was 52% run. He was 52% pass, 53% pass, and he was getting criticized for holding back his quarterback. So Shane Steichen understood balance for a rookie quarterback. Put him in a good position to succeed.
Yeah, so where's the meeting of the minds happening? I mean,
we know that's Shane Steichen's mentality, because I got a body of work to point to last year that he thinks, oh, young quarterback, got to protect him, got to use balance, got to run the football. This is Nick Sirianni.
That quarterback is growing pretty well right now, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
Struggled yesterday a little bit.
Yeah, he did struggle
but
yesterday.
But that Baltimore defense is real.
Oh, they're good. And you know what? Like, look, you're riding a second-year quarterback, and he's getting the job done. You're going to have those games like you had yesterday. There's no question. But they're the norm here, and that's not what's good yet. And Jalen Hurts is, what, 6-4, 10 starts. So there has to be some kind of a balance. What Nick Sirianni came out and said, I have four coaches that I confer with that we can all do this together. Do they all agree with this together?
They can't.
I just find it hard to believe. Now, again, I'll point to the, if Nick Sirianni comes out and says, yeah, you know what? I am going to give up play calling. It's just not working. Man, that's, to me, that's 1 foot out the door almost. I can't handle this. You can't be a head coach after 6 games and say, yeah, I'm not going to do this anymore because it's too much for me. Only because it would be the right thing to do, John. I agree with you on that. It would be the right thing to do. But if you're looking to be a head coach in this league for long term, giving up on something or saying I'm not good enough at something after six games, that's a blow to the ego. And that's it. And that's also a card in the pocket of the owner. Sorry, dude, but you can't even call plays. Like, I gotta let you go.
Steichen, I can make a documented case. He's a better play caller than Nick Sirianni.
Well, I don't think it's a move you can make in season because of what Bob just said. I think you're also
what are you talking about? The imagery of it?
Yeah, like if I'm the owner, I'm going. Like, I appreciate you're self-aware, but really, this was too much for you? Maybe you should have known that heading into the season. I think that's something you tweak in the offseason if you're going to do it. It's funny you mentioned the Chargers thing, because I saw an old tweet. It might have been under the Eagles' introductory press conference, and it was like, hey, L.A. Chargers fan, checking in here. Enjoy getting, and it was about Shane Steichen, not Nick Sirianni. Enjoy getting screen game to death. Eagles fans. And I was like, oh, okay. So this guy ran in screen game. I don't think they ever really took advantage of Herbert's arm and let him air it out. And now you might just be seeing a whole offensive coaching staff trying to figure out at once. I don't know if you can, like, sure.
I watched what he did, though. And he
probably wanted
more. Have a lot more successful, like, dealing with a first year quarterback, putting him in a position to succeed by not throwing the football on every freaking down.
Oh, yeah.
It's so dumb.
If Sirianni doesn't believe that, Steichen probably believes in screen game and running game, and it's like you're combining probably the inexperience of all of them in this pot and getting this result. So it's, you know, to your point before the season even started of the youngest coaching staff in the league, where's the veteran? This might be where you're missing that veteran voice going, guys, what the hell are you doing?
Great point. Great point. Pat?
Give it up. I could not care less about optics.
Okay.
No, well, both of you.
Yeah, it's good.
All right,
okay,
both of you.
Would you give something up in front of your bosses?
Depends
on
what
it is. Pat, you can't hit the drops anymore. We're going to give that to Colin.
Like a social media job, if it was too much for you, would you just stop doing it and give up?
If it was too much for me and I had so much on my plate, Jamie.
Okay.
It's a hard admission.
It is a hard admission, but you got to look inward, Jamie. You have to look in the man or the woman in the mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. If I sucked at my job and it wasn't getting done, because the alternative is I sit there stuck in my ways and I get fired. So, you know, this year I think if you go to Jeffrey Lurie and you go, look, I'm my philosophy isn't working. I think I'm going to hand it off and try something else, and I'll delegate and all that. Jeffrey Lurie is probably looking at it like, yeah, you know, why did I hire this guy? But if the offense runs better,
correct,
he's probably not going to fire him after 1 year. He doesn't want to pay two contracts, which is what he'd be doing. He'd be paying for Nick Sirianni and Doug Peterson at that point. So, I'm all about self-awareness. Give it up, man. You're not good at it.
He's not.
Let's try something else.
He's learning two jobs on the fly.
Yeah.
He is absolutely articulate. His inability to be articulate about what's going on, and he is unable. He cannot articulate his plan. He cannot articulate his vision. He was asked again I'm trying to think the exact word that he was used, the playing personality of his team. What is we don't know. I'm like, you don't know? That would be a meeting in my office right afterwards if I was the owner going, what in the hell?
Yeah.
You don't know what you want to be? You don't know? How do you not know? You're the guy who has to know. If anyone has to know, it's got to be you. What is your vision for this team?
Yeah, I mean, how do you describe what Nick Sirianni's job is? Like, he's obviously the head coach, this and that. You're rebuilding a team, but you're also not expected to do much this year. But you're also trying to prove yourself. You're also trying to find out if your starting quarterback is the guy moving forward. All of these things are out there, but you kind of have a clean slate where, yeah, you're going to make mistakes. We know you're a rookie you're a rookie coach and rookie defensive coordinator and a first-year starting quarterback. So it's all out there to make mistakes. However, his mistakes are really, really loud, and they're not good right now. And is he doing the best job of showcasing this quarterback's ability to maybe be a starter in this league moving forward?
The I want to tell you, Safe Auto offers Pennsylvania State minimum car insurance for less than 70 cents a day. So if you need auto insurance, check out safeauto.com or call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Play it safe, Safe Auto.
Safe Auto. I also don't he's got any chance of getting fired after this year. Like, I think it was expected, you know? Like, I don't think...
Well, okay, this is where we get to this. This is where we're going to get to this topic.
I think you feel safe.
I've got to tell you, there are things that we've all submitted from time to time in the show prep that I just go, what in the hell? Jamie, I'm just going to give it to you here. I'm laying it out to you what you said. You're confused and that everybody's shocked about how bad this is.
Yeah, so last week, you know, I wasn't here in the day-to-day aspect, but, you know, I was watching on YouTube. I was, you know, following along on Twitter, you know, cuddling the baby. And you got the phone in the hand looking at Twitter and social media. And it seems like a lot of the reaction to Nick Sirianni so far is more extreme than I would have guessed. And... it's kind of shocking to me because, to me, this season has gone to a T how I expected.
I have no idea what you're speaking.
I mean, not to toot my own.
You expected them to be a 7 or 8 win team.
Yeah.
8 was the craziest I ever heard you say.
I've predicted all 6 games correctly. Like, this team to a T has gone exactly the way I've anticipated.
You thought the Eagles would be through 6 games. The worst run-pass differential.
Well, no,
in the
I'm not getting caught up in that. I'm just getting caught up in
the biggest storyline.
The 30,000-foot view, looking down from above. This is going exactly how I thought it would.
You thought he'd look incompetent as a head coach?
At times, yeah. Wow. I thought there was going to be a huge learning curve. I mean, as we said, it's the youngest coaching staff ever assembled. To not expect learning curves would have been foolish. Jalen Hurts, ups and downs. I expected week to week, whatever defense they were playing, he was going to look great 1 week.
What are the ups? Atlanta,
he looked good.
When was the last up?
Fourth quarter of Carolina game, he looked pretty good.
You mean last, like, 4 minutes of the game?
Well, yeah, I mean...
He's looked awful.
He's looked good at times. Look, believe me, I'm close to waving the flag.
Which one? I'm still wondering. I got asked the other day, by the way, fine gentleman at the gas station says, who's waving the flag first? And I'm looking at him as he's talking to me, and he goes, who's throwing the flag first? And he predicted Jamie Lynch.
Really?
He thought you would wave the flag first.
I have the thought. I just am not ready to say it yet.
I thought it would be Pat or me. I said to him, I said, it's going to be me or Pat.
I'm getting close.
But I said, I'm bringing it to Vegas. It's going to be in the bag.
Yeah.
I'm bringing it.
But everything has just been kind of predictable to me. So I view the reaction to Sirianni as... even though I shouldn't, because people eventually get emotionally invested even when they say they won't. I view it as kind of strange, to be honest. Like, it's, yeah, the ratio is completely the worst in NFL history and all that, and that's a big storyline within the season. But looking at it, if I'm flying, you know, to Vegas right now and I'm looking down at the link and the NovaCare, I go, yeah, that's playing out exactly how I thought it was going.
Did you think you were going to feel terrible about this head coach's opportunity?
I don't feel terrible yet.
So you're not, you actually believe he'll get this all worked out?
Not necessarily.
Or he's going to be a hell of a lot better than you think?
Yeah, it could go either way. I don't feel...
Well, it could go either way.
I don't feel strongly one way or another about him. Like, 6 weeks has not shown me that much yet.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're spot on here. Like, you've talked me totally into it. If you do rise yourself above the why the hell aren't you handing the ball off, what are you talking about, your play calling this, your play calling that. If you do rise above it, though, John, and we look at it, you know, 2-4.
Yeah, but okay. I'm not looking at this year was not about wins and losses.
No, but it's...
this year is about core competency for me, and I said it since the beginning. I'm not seeing core competency. The man cannot articulate his vision. The man cannot call a football game. The man is so overwhelmed with the play calling is overwhelming him that they're talking about him league-wide, that this is ridiculous.
Maybe his play calling looks a lot better if he has a good quarterback. You know,
if you had a good quarterback, if he had Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
and that was his play calling. He doesn't. So you've got to call a good game for Jalen Hurts.
Well, maybe
not a good game for Justin Herbert.
Maybe there's a lot more plays being left on the field than we are aware about watching on Sundays.
Where are you falling, Pat?
Bob's point
is interesting.
I went to go get popcorn because I miss you and Jamie just going at it.
Bob's point is interesting, though.
It is. I expected roadblocks, and I expected hiccups. I did not expect it to be this bad.
I didn't
where
either.
He kind of looks like he doesn't really have a plan. And a man that has admitted that he gets lost or he forgets that there are players in his team. And I didn't expect this bad.
I am going to say, BS.com, I did not hear one caller to this show. I didn't hear anybody on this station saying that 6 weeks in, that the talk of Nick Sirianni drowning and being unprepared for the job was going to be the story.
See,
Nobody said that.
I don't view it that way at all, that he's drowning. I think he's an inexperienced coach that, like, I don't think he's going to be this way forever.
I think he may not, and it could be better.
So by week 12, the narrative could completely change.
Yes, it could.
So I guess I'm just kind of rolling with the flow here. I don't feel strongly one way or the other. I'm just going, all right, you're learning on the fly.
Okay.
And it's pretty obvious you're learning on the fly.
Because when you look at and you said, John, record doesn't matter. I agree with you. But when you look at a 2-4 from 30,000 feet, you say, all right, is the coach going to be good? Is the coach going to be bad? All the stuff we didn't know about. Is the quarterback going to be good or bad? We don't know. Then you dive in a little deeper, and then we get to what we're talking about, that his play calling has been atrocious, that the quarterback has had his ups and downs. So, yeah, when you put all that stuff together, there's definitely points to argue, but Jamie's right. At 30,000 feet, it was unknown about the coach. It was unknown about the quarterback.
Pat, first-year head coach, learning to be a first-time head coach, first-time play caller, Andy Reid.
Yeah, didn't look this lost.
Did he look incompetent?
No.
Did he look like he doesn't know what he's doing?
No.
First-time head coach, first-time play caller, Doug Peterson.
No. And we made him out
to
be incompetent. The fan base made that guy out to be incompetent because this was the only place he interviewed, and he, you know, he wasn't exactly a wordsmith.
No, he's never.
You know, so it's like the fan base, I don't want to say they wanted him. They didn't want him to fail, but it was a fan base that thought that he was going to, yes, and they were convinced that he was going to. Whereas in this situation, you know, he came out, we learned from our mistake with Doug Peterson. We ripped the first press conference, but then we said, all right, well, hey, Doug Peterson wasn't great in his first press conference.
And he wasn't great in his.
Yeah, let's take a step back. He just looks lost, though.
And
he doesn't really look like he has a solid game plan, and that is troubling.
We have not seen a first-time NFL head coach in this town look like this.
That's okay. Like, I'm really...
You got a lot of faith in him, man. You got a lot of faith. It's not okay to look... It's not okay
again,
to hire somebody and then have them look terribly unprepared for their job.
I think this is kind of dramatic, to be honest. Like, is he drowning? I don't know. Maybe through your prism, yes,
he
appears to be drowning. Mine, I go, no.
You listen to him speak and you're like, that guy's got a plan. He's got this.
I think he's kind of a goober in front of a microphone. Like,
but have you watched the game?
That's not good.
But I don't care about that.
Have you watched the game?
How is his play design?
How is his play design? Tell me.
I thought it was hilarious on Thursday when they ran the ball in the fourth quarter and there was like a Bronx cheer from the crowd.
How is his play design? Horrendous.
I think the quarterback's probably a little more, you know, deterring than the play. Is there helping him?
He's giving him more responsibility than every quarterback in the NFL.
I hear you. Look, I'd love to see the ball ran more. And I just think this narrative can change very quickly.
Mike and Delran may be looking to come to your rescue here. Mike, how are you?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I agree with Jamie completely. You know, I said 1-5, 0-6 possibly. So 2-4, they're better than I expected. Besides the Dallas game, we haven't been blown out.
I'm not talking about record, Mike. We're talking about the head coach.
That's fine, and I didn't expect anything. You know, as long as Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman are in charge, we're never going to run the ball. We're always going to pass the ball. Nobody knew what Jalen Hurts was. I think it's way over dramatic. I think the guy could get better in time. After week one, everyone thought him and Gannon were a genius. So, I mean,
Mike,
you know,
nobody's saying that he couldn't get better.
I know, but right now he sucks. Sure.
Yeah, I understand, but you're saying the thing is, though, is Mike, no one's arguing. You're doing a straw man argument. Nobody is saying that he couldn't get better. He may be able to get better, but I want to know what you're seeing in him that makes you think, yeah, this guy's going to get better. He looks like he's on the ball. He's just struggling right now.
Yeah, but you're not looking at it that way. Like, Jamie's not looking. All right. You're looking at it in a way. This is what I'm getting. You're looking at it in a way, John, to say, is this guy the coach for this team? Jamie's kind of looking at it and saying, it's just a first-year head coach, and this is how bad he is right now. Like, if he continues to be this bad, you have no problem with them axing him at the end of the year. You're just looking at this in an observatory way.
Yeah, kind of, but I would like to see him with another quarterback before I completely axe him.
And then, well, that could be. You might get that, too.
And I think... Bring up something real quick.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with this topic, but you zipped Mike from Del Ram before I got to hear Bill Burtz, and that's that. Like, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed, Johnny. I like hearing Go Birds.
Go Birds.
No. Go Birds. That is horrible.
Pat, here's where I'm going to tell you. You're going to hear Go Birds from Mike from Del Ran around 500 times by the time we fly home from Vegas.
I just like hearing it.
And you're going to hear it around the 7th, 800th time, you're going to go, I didn't have to hear it one more time.
I think the people want to hear it.
Go Birds! That's a good imitation.
That was a good one, yeah.
John's
terrible. John was Go Birds?
610-632-0975. Dustin, we'll get to you in more. 610-632-0975. Little respect from their opponents. There are two staggering things in the last game that we may have missed. John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic. Get the Park Sportsbook app and get it today. The Park Sportsbook app is the best way to enjoy the football season with live in-game wagering. You got the baseball postseason going on right now. It is a fantastic time for you to start cashing in, and you can get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Risk-free bet up to 500 grand, and you're going to love it because the in-game wagering, you can bet on the in-game baseball playoffs. You got the NBA kicking, you know, have it tipping off this week. It'll be fun. Your 76ers going after it. You got Flyers action tonight against the Kraken. It's all there. You can bet on player performances or just wins and losses and more, and a $500 risk-free bet. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use my promo code Kincaid. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're glad to have Jamie Lynch back with us today. The family reunited.
Yeah, I was waiting on the text on the home front to see how she's doing. First time alone.
And?
Not up yet, so I guess that's a good sign.
Oh, that's a great sign.
Well, yeah. You know how you can make things even better, Jamie.
How?
Why, Family and Company Jewelers. Don't miss a Family and Company Jewelers Verragio Bridal Show, October 14th through the 16th. See the largest selection of Verragio rings in the area and save hundreds on the ring of her dreams, Jamie. The ring of her dreams, I say.
Yeah.
Pat? Visit familyjewelers.com for more information.
Pat, what are we giving him on that? That's at least seven and a half.
Here's the thing to tie this all back. Okay, I would compare Bob to Nick Sirianni's play calling.
Wow.
But the difference is Bob adjusted and he's grown.
Yes.
And he's gotten better each week. And you've seen adjustments to the point where even though that one was good, but not to the level of Jamie Lynch, aka like Bill Belichick.
Right.
It's still really good because of how far he's come.
Thank you.
Nick Sirianni, you haven't seen any growth. Bob Cooney has gotten better every single week.
Bob, see that?
Thank you.
The one thing is what I like about Bob Cooney, too. It is one of the things about Bob.
Thank you, Pat.
He's very stable. Bob's very stable. His stable personality really helps me on a daily basis. And we'll find more about that in Speak for Yourself. No, I'm serious about that. Like, people, like, take behind the curtain. Bob's very... I need people around me that are very dependable and stable and stuff like that. And Bob's really good at
guys that don't go off and have children.
I'm here for you,
John.
That
was rude of me to have it in football season.
Not like these two.
You were totally rude.
Yeah.
You could have planned your sex. That's all I'm saying. Hey, the Kraken and the Flyers tonight, 7 o'clock.
The Kraken.
7 o'clock on the Fanatic.
That's such a cool, that's a great team name.
It is a great, and the logo and the gear is great.
It's cool.
We had fun out at the Flyers game on Friday.
That's awesome. How was it, Friday?
Contingent. Good. We had a good time. Coach was there with his son, Cam. Anthony and his son. Like, we had a good time on Friday night. And a great comeback by the Flyers that made it interesting. You know, fell short in the overtime shootout. But, boy, it's amazing how bad they are in shootouts.
Historically.
Well, yeah. No, the last couple of years they've been all right.
He's under the crossbar again.
Yeah,
the shootout.
That
backing
one,
into the net. He backed into the net twice.
The one from the goal line where they banked it off of him.
He can't say it happened.
I got faith he'll turn it. He's back. I don't know what to tell you, man. That's just my opinion.
Carter had a bad night.
I think he's bad.
Yeah, Carter had a bad night.
He wasn't
Friday.
Great, but I think with him, to kind of tie this back to like Ben Simmons in a way, I think with him, a lot of it was the mental game that really screwed him up. And I think this season, I think as long as mentally he's sound, his game will be back to where we knew it was. I don't think, like, we talked to Alain Mignot on Friday. Like, he didn't seem disingenuous when he answered the question about Carter Hart. It seemed real. So
he seemed hopeful in my mind.
He seemed hopeful.
He did.
Like, when he patted his chest, I brought something on Friday. He said, when he's back to, you know, to in a good place mentally or something. He patted his chest. I took that as a sign, like, thank God it's not worse than it was, you know?
Hey, I want to let Dustin and Willow Grove get in here. Dustin, good morning. You're on the Fanatic. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are we doing?
Great to have you on the show.
Hope you guys enjoyed Vegas. I had a bail on it because I'm taking my kids to Disney. So I hope you guys
awesome, man. Have a great time.
I'm going to my Disney World, you know?
That'll be great.
So are you guys ready for a conspiracy theory with the Eagles?
Oh, hell yeah.
You guys ready for it? I love conspiracy theories.
Okay.
So when they hired both of these coaches, with the rookie quarterback, I had it in my mind that Littlefinger, Howie Roseman, was tanking without tanking. He put these three together knowing he wasn't going to fix. Imagine him sitting in that office meeting Sirianni for the first time. And he's like, this guy's a complete Goonie Bird. He's perfect for the role. I'm going to put him in that spot.
He's a Goonie Bird?
He's a cuckoo bird when it comes and he talks to him. He's all over the place. He's like, this guy's perfect. I'm going to get my first three-round draft pick, and then I can can this guy after two seasons. At max. I don't know. That's just where I'm at with it from the beginning of this whole situation. I like your guys' opinion.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Dustin. You got to go, Birds, in. I mean, if you were looking for a guy to be blubbering his way through a tank, he's doing the part pretty well.
But here's what I'm going to say to you is that it would be rare that a general manager would get to hire yet another coach.
A fourth coach?
It's too many.
No.
You don't see it.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that conspiracy theory. I believe they got suckered in on it's the pattern. It's a pattern of guys that we're going to that well. And they went to the well and...
Probably should have just hired Kellen Moore because he is definitely going to be head coach next year.
That would also take the Ted Lasso comparison to the next level because Ted Lasso was hired to suck.
Yes.
So that would
really,
I mean, it would literally be like they watch the show and we're like, we got to find this guy.
Well, they found him.
It's not like...
They found him.
It's not a far-out thought. I mean, I think we talked about it a few weeks ago. Are they... If they really don't believe that he's the quarterback of the future, which some people have written that we talked about, are they purposely not putting him in a position to look good?
But they're being... When it's being talked about on Fox's pregame, it's being talked about on ESPN, and they're discussing about the young quarterbacks, and they're saying uniformly... Jalen Hurts is not being put in a position to succeed. Those conversations are going to come up.
Yeah.
He's not. The play calling is horrendous.
And what organization?
And it is all-time horrendous through six games.
What organization would put a young quarterback in a position specifically to fail?
Ooh.
Like, if you don't think he's the guy, that's right. One thing. But you probably want to put him in a position to succeed, not just because, you know, wins help, but also if you're looking to unload him on a team, you want to put him in the best position to showcase him, not fail.
It is an accelerated timeline with him. Like, their hand is kind of forced with the draft capital.
Right.
So, I mean, it could be possible that it's a baptism by fire situation. Throw it 60 times a game, kid.
They don't ask Tom Brady to have this much.
Yeah, but Tom Brady
doesn't do this.
They don't have to make a determination
But they know that Tom Brady's the formula of going, okay, this is the greatest quarterback. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, whoever you're talking about, Patrick Mahomes. They don't do this to them.
Well,
it's
yeah,
ridiculous.
Because they have to find out quickly. And that is my point.
But it doesn't help them look good.
Well, they got
to
find.
They're not giving him a chance to look good.
I don't think it's necessarily about looking good. It's what throws can he make? How's his decision making? Like, again, I think that's the more important thing than can he complete a 3rd-and-7 slant that was open. It's just like, well, can he make that throw to a spot or can he? And I think they have to find out. So maybe they're just throwing him 55 times a game.
Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. By the way, so Nick Sirianni's not the only one. This is a historically bad year for first-year NFL head coaches. Stats and information sharing through six games.
Not my man Urban.
Through six games, this is the worst record collectively of first-year head coaches in the history of the NFL.
So you got Campbell, Saleh, Urban, and Sirianni all with two wins and below.
The only one who's winning anything is Chargers.
Yeah.
He's the only one who's taking the class
up. Impressive.
And it's still a horrendous class.
It's a pretty bad class.
Hey, it came back to burn the Panthers. A bad bounce could have done the same for Bruce Arians. The Panthers were getting criticized for taking their foot off the gas in the second half, which led to the Eagles being able to make a comeback and steal a game. I don't know if it's a sign of overconfidence or a lack of respect. The Tampa press, if you go and read the Tampa Tribune, they also were wondering why Bruce Arians took the gas, foot off the gas so early against the Eagles. 2 weeks in a row, same storylines, opposing cities writing about it. It seems to me it's either both coaches got overconfident by what they were seeing or a complete lack of respect. And if I take it back three games, Bob told me that he believed Andy Reid took it as like a glorified scrimmage. The Chiefs game, that the Chiefs approached that like a glorified scrimmage. So then that's three games where potentially opposing coaches didn't take the Eagles seriously. That is a bad sign.
Yeah.
That's a bad sign.
Well, if Matt Rhule had, I don't know, who do you think you are to disrespect any team?
Well, he took the foot off the gas early, they say.
Yeah, well, you know, big mistake by him if that was the case.
See, I don't think he trusted Sam Darnold.
Because Sam Darnold's not very good.
Yeah, I think he took the foot off the gas because he didn't trust his quarterback. I don't think he did it as a disrespect to the Eagles.
No, yeah, well, he shouldn't have. He certainly shouldn't have. When you don't have a good team, you can't disrespect anything, anybody, anytime. And it's hard for anybody in the league. Look, this is the NFL. If you're 30 points better than a team, show it. I thought the Kansas City, I thought they came in here and were working on their offense. I really do. I think they had enough confidence that they were going to win that game that they just came in here and did what they had to do. Tampa Bay, look, you're coming off of a short week, and you come out and you're firing. You score 21 points pretty quickly. It's obvious that you're the better team. It's a short week with a 44-year-old quarterback. I can understand what Bruce Arians was kind of thinking there. They pounded.
That got scary, though.
It
was a one-score game. It could have been an interception. Could have been. He had already thrown an interception. Could have been an interception.
Yeah, it got
6-point game.
A little less comfortable than Arians or Tom Brady or anybody else wanted. But when they had to run at the clock, they just did it. So it's probably a little bit of, I don't want to say disrespect, but it's probably a little bit of comfort that teams have when they go up against the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't think that's unfair. I mean,
that's a bad sign, though. That's a bad sign.
Yeah, but I don't view it as like disrespect to the staff. I just view it as, oh, we're playing Jalen Hurts and we shouldn't lose this game.
And that's the bad sign I'm talking about. I don't think it's I think they're just saying this team's not.
Yeah, I mean, good. I think if you polled us all before the year and said, is Jalen Hurts the guy? I think we would probably wouldn't been 0-4. And I was as big a supporter as there was in town. And, you know, I might have egg on my face, but to me, he was worth taking a shot on. And you're taking your shot and you're taking your lumps with it.
I compare this team to last year's Dolphins team under Brian Flores. And that team was supposed to be bad. I mean, they tanked. They got a lot of high draft picks, just like the Eagles. But they scrapped and fought and clawed. And they were not an easy victory. And this Eagles team, to your point, John, they are. I mean, teams see this Eagles team and they go, oh, this is a win. And we probably don't even have to really try hard. You saw Tampa Bay take their foot off the gas. You saw Carolina, and I've said it repeatedly, I think they lost the game more than the Eagles won the game. I mean, this is an easy
fair
W on the schedule for every team that the Eagles are going to face.
Ooh, that's so scary.
I don't know about that.
Well, maybe the Giants.
Okay, luckily for the Eagles, they are in a division where they face the Giants, the Washington football team.
Las Vegas had a good day yesterday, and they're not a bad team.
That was a lock yesterday.
I don't think.
You thought that was a lock?
Yeah.
I didn't have the guts to pull the trigger, and I kept wondering.
Well, yesterday was a public day.
I didn't.
I love that.
But I'm not heading into Las Vegas going, they can't win this game.
Sure, I'm not either.
Yeah, hey, there's a lot of them coming up.
There could be.
They just got
Detroit the next week.
They've had a grueling schedule so far,
to be
honest.
They could go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah!
There we go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, it's time for Bob to speak for yourself.
And now, it's time for Bob Cooney's Speak for Yourself. Here's Bob.
All right, so we're going to go back to Nick Sirianni, our favorite talking point here. And he was asked about exactly what, John, we've been talking about so long.
maybe, just maybe, is it time to divvy up the responsibility of calling plays.
We're going to continue to do the things we've been doing as far as play calling and game planning. We feel like we have a good process there of how we go through it. I am fortunate that on this staff, I have guys that have experience calling games, which is helping me throughout games. So we're going to continue to stick with that. You got a lot of confidence in that, and we just got to execute and do better, but confident in our process there.
Really?
Every line of that was bullcrap.
Wait.
Everything he said was total crap.
People are helping you throughout the game. So it would have been worse than what we're seeing if people hadn't helped you. And I'm not being this, oh, you stink guy. I'm really not. But he's being helped. He really thinks, or he says, he is being helped by other people during a game. So you're being helped from abysmal to really bad? Is that like where we're going here? Because, look, something's got to change. And if you're just saying, no, we're good and we're keeping where we are, look, that's as big of a problem as it is not putting your players in the best positions. You had Gainwell not carry, not touch the ball in the first half, Kenneth Gainwell. You lost sight of him? You had Miles Sanders carries the ball one time in the first half. You forgot about him? I mean, if there's four other coaches that are helping you, what would it look like without them? They weren't even on the field? So I don't know where exactly he was going with that.
Yeah, it'd be nice for some of the other guys to feel comfortable enough to step up and be like, yo, buddy, what the hell are you doing here?
But the thing is, though, he loves their process. And he thinks they have a good process in place.
Well, he's not going to say he hates their process.
No, just say, how about coming out and saying it's not working? Well, we're going to get under the hood and figure out what. He loves the process that they've got. That's where he's off his freaking rocker. He's off his rocker. Yeah. And he's lying to you. He can't love this process because the results suck. He can't love it.
We can read in absolutely what he's saying. You're right. He's not going to put anybody under the bus. He's not. But he can't go to the depths of that.
But I don't believe him.
I don't believe him either, but what if he believes himself?
Well, then that's scary.
Exactly.
I don't think
he believes himself.
So you think
he's a liar? But things changed.
No, I know. And look, the only thing that's going to make me believe he doesn't believe himself is action. Words are just words. You gotta act on it.
Yeah.
So it's got to happen sooner than later.
Okay, Bob, that was a bad one.
So he was asked specifically about the offense and where things may have gone wrong against Tampa Bay on Thursday night.
It was really the lack of execution on first and second down that didn't extend drives there in that first half. Obviously, again, it's always execution and it's always our ability as coaches to put them in positions to succeed. It's just the ultimate team game. It's never going to be, hey, it was just execution, or hey, it was just the play calling. You know, it's together.
Well, how about if the play calling lends itself to putting out there how you best execute, right? So what do you see in practice? Oh, my gosh, he blocks really well. When we pull Jordan Mailata on this play, he opens up a lot of holes. Okay, let's make sure we execute that play really well, and then we're going to call it. They do go together. Like, they do go together, but you have to do a better job of putting them together. I don't know, like, I don't know what their bread and butter is right now yet.
They don't have one.
That's the thing. Are they trying to find one? Because if you don't have a bread and butter, I assume you're trying a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
I see a lot of run-pass options with the same kind of little passes.
And it's predictable, and Tampa said it, Carolina said it. Players of Carolina, they thought they knew exactly what the Eagles were going to do. They just failed to stop it at the end. Tampa players the other night, they knew exactly what was going. They flat out said, we knew exactly what was coming. We saw it on tape. They came exactly what we've seen on tape. No new ankles, no nothing.
And you're not getting it done on first and second down. What does first and second down scream to everybody?
Run the damn ball.
Try a running play. Like, try something different on first or second down. Look, third down is predicated because you have down and distance.
Yes.
If it's third and eight, third and nine, you know what you have to do. First and second down, usually you don't know what you have to do. It's usually open there for you. So that one didn't make a lot of sense. And, John, we're going to get into what you just said. So Jordan Mailata did come out after the game and say something about the Tampa kind of knew what was going on with the offense.
Really, with what they were doing and what they were seeing, right, I think we threw out some new formations to them that they hadn't seen before. I think a couple of things that they did, particularly in the zone read game, was to do a couple different things with the defensive end and the linebacker, which is why we ended up getting to some of those outside zone runs with Miles.
You got to them in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes to go.
And got mocked, got ridiculed. People were laughing at you.
That was pretty funny.
That's not all.
I wanted to cry.
Well, I was laughing.
That's your quarterback's read. The defensive end and the linebackers on an RPO. That's exactly what they're looking at. They're looking to see what they do, and that determines what you're going to do. Is the linebacker covering? Is the linebacker coming up? Where's the DN going? Is he following the running back or is he following the quarterback? Yes, that's what they do. They showed some different schemes there.
Really?
Okay, well, guess what? They could try anything they want because they know you're going RPO 90% of the time. So I just... He's so locked in, it seems, on this RPO stuff that he's not allowing his mind to open up and allow himself to try different things. And it's a scary thing because...
Or he doesn't have a plan B. He's not equipped with a plan B.
But he says he has four other coaches that can help him out, and they are helping him.
Are they?
I'd love to see where they're.
Pat, that's what I want is you can't stand there and say, we love our process. We love this process. Really?
What's there to love about it?
There's nothing to love about it. The answer should be, we're not pleased with the way this is going, and we're going to work our asses off to make it be better.
Yeah, so we skip over to Howie Roseman, and real quick, we'll get two in here of him. He was asked about if they're going to be buyers and sellers with a couple more games going on.
I don't view us as being sellers. I view us as still having an opportunity in the next 11 games to show what kind of team we are. And I think this was more about the opportunity to really put the pieces of the puzzle together for this team at that position and kind of moving forward. It's not to give up on the season by any way, shape, or form. I'm certainly not thinking about anything going south.
Well, you should. Good move. You did good by Zach Ertz. I totally appreciate it. I'm not going to sit here and say sell, accumulate money, but you have to look towards the future here because the future isn't now. We all know that. So maybe that's something that he's going to do, but he just didn't feel good talking about it right now. And then, we're talking about the Zach Ertz situation, and Howie Roseman was asked about where is Dallas Goedert in all this and the trust factor in him.
I think we know what we have in Dallas Goedert. Obviously, when we talk about Zach and how good of a player he is and how great of a player really he's been, to do this, you have to have a confidence level in the guys behind him. And so we have expectations of Dallas. That was kind of the conversation this morning about what we expect from him. We've seen it, but he's never really had the opportunity to go out there and just be the guy and play 80%.
Well, he's got it now, and I don't know if you guys listen to that the same way I did, but he mentioned the guys behind Dallas Goedert very quickly. Now, maybe that's because Goedert has been the backup here, and so you're looking at two tight ends that can contribute as opposed to just him. But I wonder about, it just was like, oh, do they have the confidence level in Dallas Goedert? I'm wondering, and I'm very anxious to see how much he's in the game plan moving forward.
I think this trade of Ertz tells you how good they feel about Tyree Jackson.
That's exactly where I was going. Yes,
and he's due to come off the IR now, what, this week or next?
Yeah, he still needs some practice sessions, they say, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it speaks volumes to how they feel about him.
Okay,
yeah.
We have some news from Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson has tweeted out a statement. I'd like to thank everyone for their understanding and support over the last 2 weeks. I appreciate the positive notes and messages as I've worked hard to restore my personal life. Depression and anxiety are things that I've dealt with for a long time and have kept hidden from my friends and my family. If you're reading this and struggling, please know you are not alone. I am excited to rejoin my teammates and coaches. I'm grateful for the entire Eagles community, and I look forward to continuing to play in front of the best fans in the world. Fly, Eagles, fly. Lane Johnson, 65. We will discuss that. The powerful message, the ramifications from it, and more at the top of the hour with you. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. You know, my life has taken some severe twists and turns as I just flew back from Atlanta last night and said my wife and daughter back home. And my college-bound senior in high school, her and I have been talking about paying for college. The acceptance letters are starting to roll in. There's a lot of difference in what each school is potentially going to cost over what they're willing to offer her. So we had went to collegeav.com. I want you to check it out, too. Collegeav.com. Their website's simple, easy to use. They only do college loans. And what we've sat down and done is say, Liv, let's say you needed $20,000 for 4 years of college. This is what the payments would be afterwards. What if you needed $30,000? What if you needed $40,000? Go to collegeab.com. It's the emotional support system that will help you and your high school senior guide yourselves through the college selection journey of the college loan process from start to finish. It will make it seem easy. It will make you confident about it, and it will put both of your minds at ease. Do it with your high school senior. collegeab.com. They only do college loans, and boy, they do them better than anybody else. You couldn't get any easier. Tell them John Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, Jamie's going to hit one of those same game parlays one of these days.
One day, I'm going to get one.
All right, I'm going to be very honest.
I went 4 for 5 over the weekend.
I am 3 and 8.
On same games?
In 11 attempts. But I was 0 for 6.
Yeah.
And now I've been on a little bit of a streak going, okay, it's worked. So... checking on out.
Yeah, they're fun.
I got my ass handed to me yesterday.
You did?
That was kind of a public weekend,
I thought. It was good there, but the team I liked the Chargers yesterday.
I would not have touched that game.
Oof. Yeah. Well, thanks for telling me that.
I'm afraid of that one. 8 a.m. sponsor is Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And you heard it just before the top of the hour. Lane Johnson putting out a statement. And again, briefly, I'll just give it to you. I'd like to thank everyone for their understanding and support over the last 2 weeks. I appreciate the positive notes and messages. I've worked hard to restore my personal life. Depression and anxiety are things I've dealt with for a long time and have kept hidden from my friends and family. If you're reading this and struggling, please know that you're not alone. I'm excited to rejoin my teammates and coaches. I'm grateful for the entire Eagles community, and I look forward to continuing to play in front of the best fans in the world. Fly, Eagles, fly. Lane Johnson, 65. All I can say is just that is a... the fans gave him space. The organization gave him space first. The fans gave him space. We had people that were reaching out to us last week said, why are you not speculating? I heard he's a drug addict. I heard that there's all these things going on. We're like, no, we're not going to speculate about it.
Nobody wins when you speculate.
Lane Johnson comes out there, lays it all on the line, shares it with us. And I think the overwhelming show of support will be unbelievable from this fan base. Because this is a beloved character.
Yeah, and look, he's incredibly tight with Brandon Brooks, who came out publicly, I guess, 3 years ago now. Maybe? Yeah,
it was right before one game. It was the morning of the game.
I think it was the Houston game, if I'm not mistaken. And
wasn't it his old team?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And he came out with it, and those two are as tight as can be. And, you know, he saw the reception that Brooks received from this town, and it was... overwhelmingly positive. So I'm sure that comforted him in a little bit, knowing that he could be, you know, forefront with us and it'll be accepted. Because I do think it'll be accepted outside of a couple Hoagie Mouse that like to, you know, Twitter tough guy it and have some like weak-minded comments on Twitter. But outside of that, it's going to be 98% accepted. Good for you getting in front of it. Hope you're doing well. And let's move forward.
And maybe, Bob, he helps somebody. If he says he's hidden it from his friends and his family all this time, maybe coming out and sharing that message helps somebody else who is hiding it.
Sure, absolutely. You know, someone that, look, people look up to athletes the way they do. And then to have him come out and say, look, I've been hiding this from my family, from a lot of people. And, you know, mental health is it's a hard thing because you have nothing to compare it to. You know, I can look at Lane Johnson's play as an offensive lineman and maybe compare him to a John Runyon, and you can do that. That's right there in front of you.
Yes.
You don't know how somebody else is thinking, how somebody else feels. You know, I have a member of my family that is overwhelmed when they're around people. I mean, overwhelmed to the point of it is exhausting for them. And I've seen it up front, up close, and I've seen it many, many times. I can't say that I understand it.
but you have to have a feeling for it and understand it. We can't compare our feels. We can't compare our mindset to other people because we don't know anything but what we feel and what our mind tells us. So it's something that you have to accept. And you make a great point, John. If somebody out there is saying, oh my God, Lane Johnson told the world of what he's going through, I'm okay to tell my family members what I'm going through.
And Pat, if people who are struggling see the support publicly that a guy like Lane Johnson gets by sharing this,
yeah,
then maybe it saves somebody's life.
No, I think absolutely. And I think what Bob touched on earlier, that resonated with me with the Brandon Brooks comparison. They're best friends. So when you see your best friend go through it and have the courage and strength to come out and say, look, this is what I'm going through. It's not an injury that you can see. It's a mental situation. I don't really think even it was the support that the community showed him. I think it was just the strength of him to come out and say, this is what I'm dealing with, might have pushed Lane to do the same thing. Because if he's been dealing with this the whole time, you know, I'm sure he's confided possibly in Brandon Brooks because he was dealing with the same situation. And, you know, he comes out, I agree. I think people are going to look at it and go, well, if he can do it, you know, maybe I can do it.
For the Eagles organization, many times people around, Zach Ertz talked about it the other day, that it's a family. And whatever criticism people have of the Eagles organization under Jeffrey Lurie or Howie Roseman and everything, he reiterated the other day, Zach Ertz said, it's a family around here.
Yeah.
And we're treated that way, and that's the way he treats. So the family can come together and can help Lane Johnson at this time. Not to make it about football at all, but just reading the comment there, I'm wondering, does it mean he's coming back? Or does it mean he's taking the time? Like, he looks forward to coming back at some point. Sounds like he's coming back.
It sounds like he's, you know, I would think if it was a longer-term thing, it would be, I look to rejoin my teammates in the future something like that.
It sounds like it, and he's...
I wouldn't expect him this week. It'll probably take him a week or two.
It's a hell of a message.
If he's returning to get back, you know, kind of with his legs back under him.
Yeah, and you know, football could be his happy place. It really could be. You know, I mean, maybe his anxiety, depression was off the field stuff that you know, we don't know about,
sure.
nor do we have to know about, whatever it may be. It's good that if football is his happy place, he did realize that his bad place he wanted to take care of before he got back to his happy place. Maybe that's the case, but of course, we're all rooting for him, and hopefully this works out the way Lane Johnson needs it to work out for himself.
Take this advice from Devon Gibbons. We all trust Devon, right?
With my life, yeah.
Okay, well, he says if you need a low-mileage Acura, Lexus, BMW, or F-150, he hits all the spectrum there. He says he visits graceautopa.com. Grace Auto Group on Route 1 in Morrisville, Pennsylvania, just minutes from Northeast Philly and Trenton. The only part that I've dealt with people with mental illness in my life. It wasn't a mystery at all with any of them. That's just my experience. It wasn't a mystery. There was something, and that they had something that they had to deal with. Hiding it, how do you hide it?
Oh.
Especially, how do you hide it? Because that's got to be exhausting. Bob, you're talking about exhausting.
Sure.
That's got to be exhausting.
Sure.
You're hiding it.
For decades and generations, people hid it. You know what I mean?
Got to be a tough guy. Can't let that happen.
Pour some dirt on it. You know, you see Lane Johnson, who's a mammoth of a man. You know, he's a hunter. And you don't expect to see this soft mental side of him. But now, as a culture and a society, we're kind of gearing more towards that. People, and rightfully so, are coming out with it and getting supported for it. But for decades and generations, people hid it. So I think
that was more at least my dad, your grandfather's generation was more like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think our generation's
about all the guys in the world wars and PTSD and all this stuff that was, you know, they carried that with them every day, and they probably didn't vocalize it to their friends and family. So I think it's nothing new that people have been hiding this stuff. It's just now more people are comfortable, you know, being on the forefront of it, and it helps others. Somebody like Lane will help somebody out there.
To hit home, I tell you guys, I wake up every morning and I get something positive in my head before I get out of bed. What's good about today? Imagine being a person that can't wake up happy. I mean, that was brought up to me years ago with some stuff that I was dealing with, not me, but whatever. And just said, you can't imagine what it's like not waking up and feeling good, because you do. Imagine being a person that wakes up and can't feel happy.
I said
and that's tough.
I would say to Bob, you would check on me.
Sure.
These first few months when I being apart from my family, you would check on me. You'd say, you doing all right? You do? Yeah. Like, you doing all right? Are you feeling all right? And I'd say to you, I had a bad night last night. Like, I'd be like, I was sort of choked up last night. I'm feeling lonely without the girls, things like that. You would check up on me. But I could wake up the next day and be perfectly fine. And it would, like, I would have a bad moment or a bad time. For a lot of people, that's not the case.
No, not
they can't
at all.
They can't get out of it. It's like a cycle that they can't get out of. But for Lane Johnson, this is a huge story, and hopefully people are helped by it. Inside the Birds, by the way, will move to Tuesday night this week, starting at 6 p.m. right after the Mike Missinelli show, because of the Kraken. The Kraken and the Flyers tonight. Don't lose to the Kraken Flyers.
Am I betting on the Fly Boys tonight? A little rebound?
Egan?
I would.
A little money line action or a little puck line? I'm a Zamboner. You guys got to direct
me. Don't do the puck line. The puck line, there are so many games.
Yeah,
that
you don't have to lose the juice or lay the juice.
Here's the thing. It's not a great game to bet. I haven't looked, but I'm guessing the Flyers are pretty heavily favored because they're playing an expansion team.
Right.
I don't think it's worth it for you.
Betting the money line doesn't really make it worth it.
Yeah.
But I hate the puck line. Hate it.
Yeah, the puck line sucks. It's like the baseball run line.
So many games are 3-2, 2-1.
But the more frustrating thing is when you bet it.
And oh, absolutely.
It's 3-1. And there's an empty net for the last 3 minutes of the game. And you're like, you're sweating it out. And of course, with 30 seconds left, some jagaloon named Brandon Tanev puts it in. And you're like, come on, Brandon Tanev. What are you doing, Brandon Tanev?
The Flyers are only a minus 140 tonight. Not a heavy, heavy favorite.
That's actually okay.
That's not bad. That's a difference than money line. Do it.
Plus 170 on the puck line.
At home, Seattle.
Yeah, but I don't want to do the 1.5. Especially seeing your
140.
The goaltender was very shaky the other night.
I agree.
There were two really bad cheapies.
You know what? Really Jamie, bad. Jamie, put $3 on it.
You're going three, Pat? You're really
I'll put three. I got it. I won it this weekend.
Hey, committed to being upfront with our customers. NJM has no jingles or mascots, just great insurance. Get a quote today at NJM.com. Just quickly, I want to remind you of something, and I don't think I have to remind any of you guys that have been here for it. Make no mistake about it. If you don't like this defense, blame Howie. If you think Jalen Hurts isn't a legit NFL quarterback, blame Howie. If Nick Sirianni infuriates you with his word salad every time behind a microphone, blame Howie. If you want to actually blame Howie, though, your vote doesn't seem to count because at some point, Jeffrey Lurie has just refused to blame Howie.
I'm happy to take responsibility for all of that.
He's refused to do so. So the off-the-rails collapse of this season, if it happened, I think would be enough to push it over the top. I do not believe if this season does not turn around, if this team does not look better on game day, if this coach does not look better, I do not believe Howie Roseman will survive. I do not believe he will be making the picks. If this season, if Nick Sirianni looks as bumbling in week 15 as he looks now, I do not believe Howie Roseman will be here.
How are Quez Watkins, Devontae Smith, Landon Dickerson, Davion Taylor, and you know, pick another rookie or two. If they're all looking like really good draft picks, I think he'll be making those picks.
None of them look like really good draft picks yet, including Devontae Smith.
I think you missed the biggest one, too. And this Miami Dolphins pick.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, that's
going to be a top four pick.
He stole from them. Like, it's embarrassing what the Dolphins did for Howie Roseman. So, yeah, while you say that, John, I hear it and I start to say yes, and then I stop midway and I say, wow, you know what he has in his pocket? All the things that Jamie said. The Dolphins pick, Jordan Mailata, what he just did for Zach Ertz, jumping the Giants to get Devontae Smith at 12 when they were clearly going to take him. So Howie might have as much in his back pocket now than he's ever had sans Super Bowl year.
Yeah, like
I don't believe so. If this season goes in the absolute crapper, where they look completely ill-prepared and are running an offense that has never been run in the history of the NFL, worst run-pass ratio.
Yeah.
I do not believe that he'll survive.
I think if he survived last offseason, he's surviving this one.
Let's get to the reach around.
No, really, let's.
No, let's do it.
I swear.
Let's do a reach around of the NFC East. Our perfect show just ended.
Getting there. I may be a new father, but we can still do reach arounds. Am I right, guys? All right,
nope,
let's,
you're on an island. You're on an island there, Jamie.
Let's start with the Washington football team. They went down, no surprise, I think, to anyone, to the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. Final score, 31-13. It was actually a close first half where the Chiefs looked very human. They don't seem to have the same dominance that they've had in years past, and probably a lot of that is because of their terrible defense.
Yes.
This was the first time all season that they've held a team under 29 points scored on them. So banner day for Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes looked very human in the first half. He took a couple chances, you know, throwing across his body, doing his fadeaway type, Patrick Mahomes type of throws. Had two picks in the first half. He said the team came up to him at halftime and said, just keep being yourself. You'll be fine. Of course, he rights the ship in the second half. Throws for three touchdowns. And unfortunately for him, his brother, who is a face you just want to kind of wallop, he made himself the story.
Wallop.
You just kind of do. Have you seen this
kid?
Like
my dad, wallop.
Yeah. Seriously. Jackson Mahomes made himself a storyline of the game yesterday down in Washington. It was almost like, oh, the email story came out. Let's retire Sean Taylor's number. Like in 3 days, all of a sudden, they're just retiring number 21 down there. And my buddies that are fans of the team, Sean Taylor's like a god to them.
Yeah, sure he is.
So it was a big day, and it was an empty stadium. My buddy sent me a picture from the end zone.
Looked terrible.
Oh, my God. It looked like 40% attendance. So they had the number 21 spray painted on different parts of the field that were fenced off, the chain link fence.
Right.
Apparently, Jackson Mahomes, according to a couple videos I've seen, looks like he was doing a TikTok dance inside the chained off fence on the number 21. Not a good look, man.
No, that's that you are mind-numbingly dumb.
Yeah, this is like the third or fourth time now this kid has made himself a story. Like, he dumped water on a Ravens fan earlier in the season. If I was Patrick, I'd be like, dude, shut it down. What are you doing? You're embarrassing us. So, unfortunately, that was a small little side effect of the family yesterday. Heading up to New York. Let's head up to that big, beautiful dumpster fire up in northern Jersey, because I absolutely love watching their demise. They're such a joke of a franchise right now. They got lucky with Eli twice in a great defensive front. Ever since, they've been horrible. I think they're the worst team in the NFL over the last 4 years now.
They are.
They went on to lose 38-11 to the Los Angeles Rams, moving to 1-5 on the year. In hindsight, it was such an obvious bet to take the Rams. Like, did we really think the Giants were going to give the Rams a game? Joe Judge, after the game, said he wanted to see who would finish the game out, who would fight at halftime. Well, Joe, looks like your team doesn't have much fight left. Yeah. Daniel Jones sucks, and the Giants are going to be drafting probably in the top five looking for a quarterback. So if the Eagles find themselves looking for a quarterback, the New York Giants are going to be one of their opponents they're going to have to battle it out for.
Watch that.
Daniel Jones continued a horrendous, you know, kind of career so far. A three interception day, two fumbles in the first half, one loss, one recovered, and four sacks on the day. The fans up in the Meadowlands were raining down boos. Defensive tackle Leonard Williams said, yeah, it really gets to us as a team. You know, we got to be better, yada, yada, yada. It's crumbling apart fast up there.
He threw it 51 times yesterday.
My gosh.
I mean, and to see MetLife Stadium with 10 minutes to go and nobody there, that was awesome.
I mean, it was one third of the stadium there. And that's happened here, too.
Sure. Yeah, but, yeah.
But still,
this is pretty early in the year.
That was really bad.
And then finally, one of the games of the week, Dallas was up in New England yesterday. This was Dallas's first.
This is what I was watching on the plane. It was a good game.
Yeah, it was a really good game. Yeah. This is Dallas's first win in New England since 1987.
They don't play there that often.
No, they were 0-5 against Belichick in New England. So kind of a big win for them. Dak Prescott connected with CeeDee Lamb in overtime for a 35-yard touchdown. The game was pretty wild. It was very entertaining. There was a sequence of back-to-back plays, I guess right around the end of the third, beginning of the fourth quarter, where Trayvon Diggs intercepted a 42-yard pick six touchdown.
Or Ty Diggs.
Yeah.
As the Dallas broadcast called him, Ty Diggs.
Not
Brad
good.
Sham okay. said Ty Diggs with the interception.
Maybe, is that his nickname?
No.
Yeah.
Well, there's the actor Tay
there's
Diggs.
An actor,
I was thinking Tay Diggs.
And then he corrected himself.
immediately after that, Mac Jones connects with Kendrick Bourne for a 75-yard immediate answer touchdown. Looked like a little bit of blown coverage there, where Diggs was on the play, but the safety was coming in. Diggs kind of trailed off. The safety didn't make the play, and it was an open field in front of him. Trayvon Diggs now has two pick sixes on the year.
He's amazing.
He's having a really good year. He allows a lot of yardage. He's the risk-it-all cornerback.
He is.
Yeah, where he goes for the big play, but you can get yardage
They're
and gain on
him.
They're
happy with him, though.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, he's probably one of the front runners for Defensive Player of the Year at this point. But Dallas moves to 5-1 now. They're up there with the upper echelons of the NFC.
They won the division yesterday.
Oh, yeah. The division's been over since probably week three.
Do you guys remember on Friday when I was lucky enough to do the reach around? We were talking about this Dallas game, and we brought up the line. The line was only like 2.5, 3. We all said that was incredibly fishy.
Strange.
I had Dallas yesterday, and I kind of got lucky because the overtime touchdown is rare
for the cover. And, Pat, to take it back, your little power play to try to take over the reach around.
Yeah. It's my reach around.
On Friday it was a
back off, War Child.
It was a little Claude Giroux stepped in the debate.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. And he said, "Give Jamie back the reach around."
That's my captain.
That's right.
Said Pat, it wasn't good.
Now Elaine Vigneault said, "Screw him." He went and had a baby during football season.
How rude of me.
So Elaine Vigneault really was good. He had your back, Pat.
Yeah, Pat, it's not that yours was bad, it just wasn't the same.
Yeah, I mean, look,
once
it's a
you
lot
get
like
used to one reach around, like trying to get used to another one.
Yours
like,
was more mature.
Mine was like the stranger.
Yeah, and sometimes that's good. Like sometimes it's good
you're
to
cool
have
with
a different
to try
opponent.
It different. Yeah, it's good. So it worked out well.
I'm glad you guys like old Normie over here.
There you go.
Yeah.
Remember, Inside the Birds. More on the latest with Lane Johnson. Everything coming your way tomorrow night at 6 p.m. after the Mike Missanelli show. The guys will be there, so plenty of that going on. We have a. You realize by Thursday morning, we will have three teams in the heat of their season.
It's wild.
It's just good to be back. Like, it's just good to be back to normalcy, back to full stadiums.
Can't wait till Ben's gone so I can actually get some Sixers excitement going.
Yeah, it was cool to see the Wells Fargo Center on Friday night with everybody.
Crowd looked good on TV.
So much orange. It was cool. I did sit back at one point and just look around and say, wow.
Feel the energy.
Yeah, it was cool.
All right, we got a lot coming for you, and we look forward to having you be a part of the show. For those of you who are streaming, we appreciate it. Stream the station all day long on your device. Make sure you've got 97.5 The Fanatic with you all day long through Cuz Radio, through the Mike Missanelli Show. If you want to jump in and chat with us this morning, we've got a lot on the table at 610-632-0975. A critical three-game homestand, a Ben Simmons saga. It is going to be a hell of a week in Philadelphia. And then we go to Vegas. John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Have you taken care of your car? Have you gotten it ready for the cold winter ahead? Well, think about it. Fall's a challenging time for your car. You want to keep it safe on the road. You want to go to your local Meineke. Why do you want to go to your local Meineke? Because they are locally owned and operated. These are independent contractors in your community. These are members of your community. Go to a place you can trust, your local Meineke. Right now, full synthetic oil change is just $59.95, and they're throwing in a free tire rotation. You want the semi-synthetic oil change? You get it for $29.95. You can rely on Meineke for maintenance, brake service, tires, all kinds of things like that. But also, too, right now, 50% off brake pads and shoes. That is a great deal. Sign up for Meineke Rewards, and they're going to throw in free towing. Think about the winter ahead. Think about great customer service and commitment. You think of Meineke, and you can trust them. They're in your community. They're part of your community. You need a job? They're even hiring. Go to Meineke.com/careers and get more details. Check out your local Meineke Center today. Tell them John Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I don't give a I'm pretty dumb sometimes.
Yeah, it could be.
I can be really dumb sometimes. John right. Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Yeah, I can be really dumb. I was talking to the boss. He just got back from Vegas.
Yeah, he did.
The big boss back from Vegas seemed to have a good time, except his flight was delayed 6 hours.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah, that can't happen to us coming back.
How?
That would be, it was they kept delaying flights.
Well, was there a reason?
Yeah, there was like, I guess they had plane problems or something like that. And then things were delayed. You do not want to spend all that time, even though the Vegas airport isn't a bad place to be stranded.
Nah, you can play some slot machines.
You can play slots if you want. I don't know how many of us I can get into the special club that they got there. They have a club there that we can get in.
Club shampoo?
Maybe Bob will get to go in there. Pat will leave you at the... There's plenty of stuff to do.
I'm not leaving you, Pat.
I like how you'll leave me. Kincaid, buddy. I'm going to leave you.
Pat, there's a giant lizard. You get to pose for
a giant lizard.
Whoa, what you get to pose a special room with a giant lizard?
No, there is a... As you get off the planes when you're heading towards baggage claim.
Like an iguana?
Yes. There's a gigantic one, though, that's a sculpture.
Oh, that's boring.
And from the time Liv was young, she's had her picture taken with the giant iguana.
Yeah, I'm out on the
every
iguana.
Single time. Scary a little bit?
No.
No, it doesn't bother you? You got a picture taken of the iguana. Pat, they have an Annie Ann's.
Okay. Now we're talking.
Yeah, they have an Annie Ann's.
Now
so you always
we're
know
talking.
There will be food. I think it's like 24/7 Annie Ann's.
Good.
Also.
I'm going to raid that Annie Ann's.
They have an Orange Julius.
I'm out. Stop.
You haven't seen an Orange Julius in forever.
No. They're delicious.
I do not like orange.
Why did they go away?
They're in the Vegas airport.
Yeah.
You can have an Orange Julius.
They didn't
Julius.
Go away. We're flying to Vegas just for the Orange Julius. Never coming back.
You can have
back.
It. You can do that, too. So, Dr. Hunter wanted to join us. Doctor, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You wanted to talk a little bit about this Lane Johnson situation.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your background and why you want to talk about it.
Yeah, so I'm the head of mental strength at a group called Mindful Athlete Training, and our mission is to make kind of mental health and more, kind of sports performance psychology really more digestible, acceptable, trackable, and trainable. And what Lane Johnson is really talking about is kind of opening himself up to the masses and saying, hey, this is something that I'm dealing with, and I'm not alone. This is something that every person goes through and every person deals with. And just like in the physical world where we're open to talk about an injury, the mental world is kind of this invisible, vague thing that seems to be when we talk about it, it's oh no, it's hush hush, it's keep it quiet. And it's something about making it more normalized, talking about it more often, I think could really break into that sports world, making people more acceptable and proactive on their mental health, just like the physical world is, because so much of your physical determines, your mental side determines how your physical ability is going to be working. Bob, you were talking about how Lane Johnson, maybe his happy place is football. But what happens a lot of times when you're dealing with anxiety and depression, I don't know what he's dealing with in particular, but it dulls the things that you love.
Yeah.
And so you may be going to those situations and be like, this is something that I love. And then you're not reaping those same benefits. You're not dealing with it, and you're like, why am I not enjoying the things I once enjoyed? So what Lane Johnson is going through is very, very difficult because it is this vague, uncertain, undeterminable thing. But at the same time, there are more and more things out there now that we can be proactive about it, as well as reactive to help people heal and get better.
Coach, is there as you're leading people through this, are there people, the majority of people, the vast amount of cases that you see, are they people who hide it or are they people who are more open with it? Is this something that hiding it is going to become sort of where it's much more commonplace that people now reveal it?
I would say in the sports world, it tends to be more of a hiding. Maybe within the locker room you're talking about it, but even so, we see it in other cases, in other sports in Philadelphia especially, where it kind of comes out of nowhere, or we see it, but they're not really talking about it. And I think it's important for people to be able to address it, to feel comfortable with it. And obviously that kind of comes from the stigmas, it comes from the advantages and disadvantages of discussing it, but more so, it's those opportunities of, you know, how are people going out and seeking that services or support systems? Are there things that are digestible and acceptable? And when you hear yourself, your friends, or other people who are in the sports agency, are we dealing with it similarly to an injury? Or are we treating it any differently? And if we are, that's not necessarily always helpful because your mental is tied in right or directly to your physiology. So something that I do is I work a lot with the physiological domains
that psychology plays and mental plays. So when we feel something stressful, our muscles will tense up, our breathing becomes shallow and more rapid, our heart rate goes faster, and it actually affects our ability to have perfect timing to achieve what we're capable of. It really limits actually our physical domains when our mental is just feeling stressed or even thinking something stressful.
Great job, Doc. We appreciate it, Doc Hunter. We appreciate your time.
Thanks so much. Enjoy
Thanks,
Vegas,
doctor.
Guys.
Thanks, man. That is, that's eye-opening, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it's eye-opening to me because, Bob, there's so many different ways that it manifests for different people.
Sure. I mean, look, think about it. Lane Johnson is the perception is what we talked about. Tough guy, big as a mountain, all of those things. So you think strong, and people think that mental health, if there's something going on there, that's not strong. That's not the case at all. If you're a father and you're dealing with it, well, you might not want your kids to see it because it's perceived as not being strong because you have a mental health issue. That's not it either. As a child, whatever it may be, doctor makes a great point. Everybody needs to talk to somebody. Everybody. And Lane Johnson coming out, like you said earlier, John, so well, Lane Johnson doing it with the perception of him being a mountain of a man and tough as could be and all of those things, him admitting that there's something not right with him, can only help other people. And it is great of him to be able to come out and do it.
Yeah, Kevin Love kind of, I don't want to say started this movement amongst, you know, big name athletes, or DeMar DeRozan quickly followed.
It was Royce White way before.
Well, yeah,
guys.
But on the big scale, it was Kevin Love was like, wow, you know, this many time all-star and great player. Wow. And that took a lot for him. You know, I've listened to a podcast and read some of his writing on it, and that was a hard thing for him to do. But you're now seeing the effect, which is positive. A lot of people are following in their footsteps. And, you know, athletes are no different than your regular group of 500 people. If you picked up 500 people from any area of this country, you know, whatever percentage of them are going to have depression or anxiety. And it's the same exact way when you deal with athletes. I mean, you're talking about 700, you know, NFL players, at least probably 1300. There's going to be, you know, probably, let's say the number 17%. I'm just pulling that out of my
head. Right.
There's going to be 17% of athletes that are suffering from the same thing. So these guys coming out and talking is only going to help people because people look up to these guys.
Pat, do you think it's worse today in society, or do you think it's just more?
It's more disgust.
Open.
I think it's both. I think it's worse, but I think it is more open and accepted and talked about. But I think it is worse. Yeah, I think social media has made our society where we can just hide behind keyboards and tell people terrible things and know there's no repercussions. And then obviously you still have wars going on and being fought. So you have soldiers going over there, coming back, and suffering from PTSD. And it's more prominent and talked about because we're still discovering, and you know, the human brain is fascinating. So I think it's both, though. I think it's more accepted, talked about, but I also think that our society has kind of bred a different kind of awfulness. I'm struggling thinking of the words, but Twitter sucks.
Well,
that's the closing argument I have.
So I pull up the window, and I'm not going to give Jim's name in case he doesn't want to know, but Jim on our YouTube chat.
What do you say, Jimmy?
He says he was taken out of work in an ambulance the first panic attack he had. He thought he was having a heart attack.
Yeah. I have a close
friend.
Do you
think you have a heart attack? Like, it feels like a heart attack?
It's overwhelming.
I have a good friend I've been around him for two panic attacks.
And he had a panic attack.
And it's a highly concerning situation.
What was the situation he was in that was causing him to be panicked? Or is it just
nothing in particular. He gets triggered by different things, hyperventilating. You know, he said he's felt pains down his arm and stuff, so I can see why somebody would think heart attack. I mean, it envelops your whole body. It takes you over, and it's not the purse. It's hard to get through to them when that's going on. Usually they have a constant. Like, for example, my buddy is his mother. So we were able to get his mother on the phone, and just being able to talk to her was able to calm him and bring him back.
I know nothing of panic attacks, Bob. Like, I don't know anything. I've heard the term, but I always think it's brought on by something. Like, the panic attack is brought on by a stressful situation.
It could be.
Okay, so like,
probably different triggers for different things. Yeah, I'm sure everybody's
different. Amazing. It's amazing the depths of this conversation.
Yeah, I had a panic attack once, and it was bad, and it was a situation. I was young. I was like 30. and I was working overnight at the Daily News. I was also coaching basketball. I was also cutting lawn. You know, I was doing, I was actually younger than 30. I was in my 20s.
Okay.
And I was just tired. And I just worked an overnight shift at the Daily News. And I was in the middle of the bridge, and I didn't know if I was dreaming that I was driving or if I was really driving. And I just felt this overwhelming, oh my God, I'm awake, but I must be asleep. It was very weird, but I had to
grab. What did you do?
I grabbed the wheel with both hands, and I was nervous about getting over the bridge, thinking I was falling asleep and I was going to drive off the bridge or something like that. It was bad, and I got through it, and it was fine. And then when I brought it up to somebody, they gave me a breathing exercise. It's 4 seconds in, hold it, 4 seconds out, all this thing that helps to calm you down. I haven't had panic attacks in the form of what people are talking about, the guy, Jim, that you said. But just a little shaky moment like that, you'll remember it. You'll remember. I'll never forget that night for the rest of my life.
And you think it was deprivation and stress, a lot of things going on.
Yeah, just all that.
It's a topic on Ted Lasso. It was a topic last season a little bit and this season. And the normalizing and bringing it to awareness of you're not the only person out there. Even though like everyone knows that people suffer through it, I think it's important that when you look up to somebody and see them going through it, it makes it a little bit easier to admit it.
Lewis on our YouTube chat said, I guess he had one. He said his heart rate was over 170 when he got in the ambulance.
Wow.
Jeez.
Wow. So you think you're having a heart attack, or what I'm trying to figure out is, do you think you're having a heart attack, or do you think you're having a panic attack? Like, do you know it's not a heart attack?
I don't think you know what your body's doing.
You know what it's doing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Your mind is physically controlling your body, or whatever triggered you takes over your body, so you're not in control, really. It's a pretty horrifying thing to watch somebody go through.
The weird thing is that it's I guess everybody handles things differently. I tend to almost want to, shut down. When something gets too stressful, I'd be more into shutdown mode, where I'm actually a positive thing, but I'm a little quieter, more like in my thoughts more. It doesn't get amped up. I tend to get very sort of like, what's wrong?
Jamie was talking about his buddy, how there's a constant. You need a constant to kind of bring you back. And I think it's safe to say that, John, for you, it's the soothing voice of Shaq.
They sub me pouring milk on my balls.
That always does a smile. That does.
Yeah.
It smiles.
Like, okay, everything will be okay.
Shaq and the milky balls.
If Shaq can have milk on his balls and find the strength to carry on, then so can I.
That takes me somewhere.
By the way, can we just point out like the fact that we have really smart people that listen to Four Jagaloons over here?
Learned doctors.
I thank you, Dr. Hunter. That was great of you to call in. And I said to Connor, I said, dude, do me a favor. Just check him out. Check him out, that Dr. Hunter's legitimate.
No, I'm looking at his LinkedIn page.
It's great stuff.
Very legit.
It really is great stuff. We appreciate it. We do have smart listeners, Pat. You hear
I'm just blown away by it because, you know, we're idiots. Like, we've all admitted it at one point or another. So find out, you've got, and Bob's looking at me like crazy, but Bob, you've admitted it yourself.
No.
You've admitted it on these airwaves.
What I'm thinking is, like, look, everything that everybody's talking about on Twitter, on our YouTube and all that stuff, it's a subject that's bringing us together because we've all felt something, maybe not to the degree of Elaine Johnson, but we've all had something. And it makes me, like, really think, God, why can't we be this about almost everything? Why can't we talk to each other and think things out almost over anything? We could be going at it with somebody on the YouTube page, John, if you're looking at it.
Right.
And then we talk about this and they say, yeah, I had that problem too. It brings you together. It makes you realize, okay, we're all humans in this crazy-ass society. And, like, what Lane Johnson has done has brought us... what Lane Johnson has done has maybe helped some of the people on YouTube that are saying, I've dealt with this too. Oh, my God, it's good to talk to somebody. And maybe somebody on YouTube hears them say that. It's just a good effect that what Lane Johnson did can have on so many people.
And conversations, too, because you get educated.
Sure,
I'm saying, I know nothing about...
And it normalizes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Just having a conversation about it goes, oh, okay. Like, that's part of the daily conversation now. And that's a good thing because it makes people feel more comfortable.
Yeah, I don't know anyone that has suffered through panic attacks or anxiety, but I guarantee I know somebody that has suffered panic attacks and anxiety. It's just, it's not
guaranteed. Right.
You know what I mean? And when you normalize it, and you might feel weird admitting it. You mean it might look like it's weakness, but it's not, because you've got athletes, pro athletes, who are at the top of their peak physical sports, and they're coming out saying, no, I suffered through this too. It normalizes it.
AC in the Northeast joins us on the Fanatic. AC, how are you, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good, man.
This is a very, very,
you know, rough subject for myself because I've suffered for pretty much all my life with PTSD and anxiety and panic attacks. My father died of a massive heart attack in front of me at 15 at the end of the Eagles Cardinals game back in 87.
Oh my God!
And yeah, it was horrifying. And you know, I've seen a lot of loss of family members of cancers and stuff. You know, all the way up until I was like 19, 20. You know, more than I should have at that young age. So, you know, for a lot of years I was suffering from anxiety and depression, and I hid it. And
how did you hide AC? How'd you hide it? Like, had people the people closest to you didn't know you were hurting at all?
My mother did, but you know, she was old school. She really, you know, I would talk to her about it, but she would just be like, "Well, you just got to deal with it." I never spoke to anyone, a therapist or anyone, and you know, so it affected my work.
Okay,
you know, I had a hard time holding a job for a while. You know, I would hold jobs, but, I would leave jobs, take leave absences and stuff. And around 29 years old is when I addressed it and I was put on medication. And, you know, it's been a battle, you know, it's been a lot better the last 20 years. But I've had my moments and, you know, they got to switch medications around and things like that. But, you know, and I've suffered more loss. I lost my mother within the last 2 years. And,
how are you? How do you feel when you wake up tomorrow morning and you wake up on Thursday and you wake up on Saturday? Have you gotten to the point with medication that you feel okay when you wake up?
Yeah, pretty much. There are some days, you know, if I'm on a certain medication for a long period of time that, you know, I'm like, okay, I need to address this because.
Okay.
I know that, you know, when you're on a medication for a long period of time, you know, you might need to adjust it because your body, you know, it's not affecting certain levels in your brain like it should anymore, and you need to switch off.
AC, thank you for sharing that. That's
yeah. I just got a tweet from another guy, Sean, and said, you know, my son's 18 and he's been hiding it for years. And he's had some dark thoughts in the past, and at least now we finally know what to do or how to handle it. So it takes a lot for people to come out and discover that stuff.
Hey, Lee in West Philadelphia has a message to share. Lee, good morning. You're on The Fanatic. How are you?
Good morning. I just wanted to say I really love you guys for talking about this. I'm a therapist, a public health program analyst with a program in the city called Mental Health First Aid. We work with Healthy Minds Philly. This is a free training. It's empirically based. So that way you can send people to actual wells with people that know what they're talking about. I love this conversation. Again, if you go to healthymindsphilly.org, you could take a screening. You could find out about all the free resources that are available in the city of Philadelphia. And for those who are not in the city of Philadelphia, you can dial 1-800-273-TALK, and it'll connect you to various resources all over if anyone is really, really struggling. So,
Lee, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are these situations, are they genetically wired into us from birth, or are they like things that are lying within us that are triggered by events that happen in our lives?
So you want to know if it's nature or nurture?
Yeah, and I'm sure not every case is the same and not every situation is the same, but most of it. Is it something that we're born with?
So the answer to your question is yes to both.
Okay.
So we have a saying. I used to be a drug and alcohol counselor. We have a saying, genetics load the gun, but society pulls the trigger.
Mm. Okay? Interesting.
So it's not either or. One out of every five people deals with a mental health challenge at some point in their life. One out of every five. They just don't know what it is. And mental health is a spectrum. It's kind of like physical health. You know what I mean? You could be overweight. Like, I need to lose a couple pounds, but I'm not diabetic. Just because I'm unhealthy doesn't mean that I am diagnosable. So we all deal with different levels of challenges. And if you couple it with how a lot of things in society, especially with athletes, have to deal with certain adversity, you know, athletes are often told, suck it up, You know, like you just have to take it. You know what I mean? And that's not mentally healthy, because there's an appropriate time to be weak, and weak is often associated with wrong.
Yeah.
And if you're taught that your entire life, and you're feeling these things, where do you go with them? You retreat inwardly. And I just wanted to say something really quick.
Yes.
Panic attacks and anxiety attacks are different. A lot of times people conflate them. Even sometimes mental health professionals conflate them. The key difference is that panic attacks come out of nowhere, and they are so close to heart attacks. There have been people who were used to having panic attacks and actually died because they were having heart attacks.
Lee, what's that website again?
Okay, it's called healthymindsphilly.org. Healthymindsphilly.org. Love what you all are doing.
Bless you, Lee.
The name of the course is called Mental Health First Aid. If you live, work, go to a organization that meets in the city of Philadelphia, it's free. It's an all-day training. We could do it online. We could do it in person. Whatever you need, we got it. And Lee, it's empirically based in the city has it.
Lee, that's awesome. Thank you much for sharing that information.
Thank you, Lee.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that's great. That is awesome.
It's an interesting morning, and it's an interesting discussion. I think it's a positive discussion. It's positive. Is there anything you learn about? You learn something about, you know, and get educated on a topic.
It's key to everything. That's why I say to you guys, I'll never, and you guys are like that also, never stop listening, because you're always going to learn something.
Hey, we have a lot coming up for you, and we'll get back to some more Eagles talk, Ben Simmons talk, and more. It's the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Are you looking for a way to race in the upcoming Broad Street Run? Well, I got a great idea for you. The AACR Runners for Research team can help the American Association for Cancer Research raise $250,000. The American Association for Cancer Research is fantastic. They're absolutely awesome. Now, next year, you'll be a part of the team. You're going to get in with the AACR. You're going to run for it in Broad Street. You're going to run in all kinds of different events. You can also get involved with the AACR just by making a donation at aacr.org/fanatic, because cancer research saves lives. That was just one of a million examples of where the AACR aligns with organizations and aligns with events where you can help with fundraising. Let's say you had an idea for a fundraiser like the AACR could benefit from. We would love for you to get in touch with them at aacr.org. You can make a donation. You can make a one-time donation. You can make a monthly donation at aacr.org/fanatic. Make those donations. It is so, so important. You can do it in memory of a loved one who didn't make it, or in someone who is fighting the battle right now. Go to aacr.org/fanatic. I got to remind you, because cancer research saves lives.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
9 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. I've heard Anthony tell me that. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com. The morning was going one way. Nick Sirianni struggles. Ben Simmons returning to town and his team and more. And then what did we get? Then we get this. Lane Johnson puts out a statement. I'd like to thank everyone for their understanding and support over the last 2 weeks. I appreciate the positive notes and messages as I've worked hard to restore my personal life. Depression and anxiety are things I've dealt with for a long time and have kept hidden from my friends and family. If you're reading this and struggling, please know that you are not alone. I'm excited to rejoin my teammates and coaches. I'm grateful for the entire Eagles community, and I look forward to continuing to play in front of the best fans in the world. Fly, Eagles, fly. Lane Johnson. That's where the conversation really has just sort of spun into. We've had some mental health professionals that have joined us discussing this story. And the idea that Lane Johnson comes out of has obviously been hiding something that he's been struggling with. And he's been carrying that burden by himself. And it obviously at some point, Bob, got to be too much.
and he couldn't handle it.
Yeah, and good for him for recognizing it, because when you don't, or when you're afraid to recognize it, come out about it, that's when you have these tragic endings that we hear about all too often. And we know the famous people, Robin Williams, you know, we know the famous people
Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah. And the end was obviously the worst it could be. And for all you out there that have had people or family members that have ended their lives because of these things and didn't get the help they needed, this is why it's so important for someone as famous as Elaine Johnson to come out, so that people, everyday people like us that struggle, you know, don't feel so bad about it or insecure about it. You know, you're a person, you need help. All of us do. At some point,
every single person feels desperate.
Yeah, and hopefully society is starting to make that turn towards not casting judgment on someone that needs help.
Steven sends an email in, and he says, I also am a mental health professional. Listen to the show every day. I think what you guys are talking about today is extremely valuable. We can get back to bashing Nick Sirianni tomorrow. I'm all for it. He said, but one thing is, he said, John, I think is the disconnect with a lot of people. You can feel sad and not be depressed.
Yeah.
He said, when you told the story about you with your wife and daughter not being with you and you have sad moments, you have a switch that turns off and allows you to get back to business. Some people never can flip the switch and they carry it with them 24/7.
Sure.
I honestly can't imagine feeling, when I have my like woe is me moments, like I'm all alone, my wife and daughter aren't here, I feel, then I can't imagine if I couldn't turn it off. I can't imagine how I would function.
Well, you know,
you know what I mean? That's what he's saying.
Was, not Regina. Whoever just called up. I'm sorry. I forget her name already. You know, she said 20% of people. I mean, that's
a lot of people.
Staggering. Just think about that as you go throughout the course of your day. Every five people you come across, one of them is probably going through something that they're not showing or wearing on them that they have to battle every single day. And that's, I truly, my heart goes out to those people, because that's not only physically exhausting, it's mentally exhausting. And I feel very fortunate that I personally don't have to go through that. But if I have friends and family, you know, I hope it's something where they feel comfortable they can come to me at any given time, and we can help and have these conversations, because step one is normalizing it.
Yeah, Coach actually brought up, Brian Dawkins was another guy that talked about it. And he's like, you know, the toughest guy to ever play for the Eagles right there. And it's something I think about often that Jamie just talked about, like that, how lucky I am that I don't suffer through it like the way these guys do. You know, have your spouts here and there of sadness.
Correct.
But it's not to the point where it's debilitating. And anytime a situation like this pops up with a pro athlete, because, you know, since we're in sports, obviously, that's where our mind usually is. And when these pop up, it makes me realize how lucky I am that I'm fortunate.
It says it's amazing here, though, that as Steven says, that one of the other points that he gives, and I want to point out, he said it is not calculated. Mental illness is not calculated. It is something that overtakes your life. He says it's not something that you plan. It's not something that you stage or manipulate. He said, I think that now there will be others who maybe try to use this. He says it is not a part of a calculated campaign. It is something that has controlled your life. And many times people like a Lane Johnson can hide it and still manage to function.
Yeah.
It's a scary thing.
I mean, it's not something you can see. It's not something you can easily rehab. It's not known. It just weighs on you as this unseen thing.
I got to ask something of Vincent on our YouTube chat. He said, it's amazing how this radio show vilified Naomi Osaka or Simone Biles.
I don't think we ever did that.
What? We're totally on the side of understanding of what they were going through.
We didn't do anything of the sort.
Yeah, I don't recall that at all.
What the hell is he talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Amazing how this, unless I read it wrong or it was typed wrong.
Is that Vince, our friend Vince?
Amazing how this radio show vilified Naomi Osaka or Simone Biles.
That didn't happen.
In fact, it never happened. What in the hell are you talking about?
I mean, people confuse shows with other shows all the time. Maybe that helps.
I think our show's a little unique, especially with our own YouTube community.
Yeah, I would think. I don't know.
Because that's a load of crap.
I'm sure somebody said it, but it wasn't us.
Oh, my God. Anthony in Woodbury joins us. Anthony, you're on the Fanatic. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I love listening to you guys. So
thanks, man. We appreciate it.
And I'm a little nervous right now, so hopefully it don't sound stupid. But I have anxiety, and I wanted to really shed some light on my experience personally. I've been dealing with it for the past probably 10 years, and I'm trying not to get too emotional either. But for me, I have panic attacks, and it is something I'm going through currently. In fact, this last Friday, I was at the hospital. So for me, it goes, it feels like a heart attack. And it almost, if this makes any sense, it feels like, it feels different each time because it kind of tricks your brain. So like, if you feel like a chest pain or tingling and stuff, if you feel the same way every time, it could be like, all right, cool, I've been through this before. But for me, it tricks me. Where it happens, it comes on more intense to be like, okay, this is it. Like, this is a heart attack. This is definitely happening. And for me, it can happen. Tingling in the arm, chest pain.
Anthony, can you tell us? Can you tell us what can you without if it's too personal? No, but what happened Friday that you said you ended up like? Was it just a normal Friday, and something happened?
Yes. Yeah, for me, there's no triggers. So I could be chilling in my house watching TV, playing video games, and it happens. I could be out with friends, hanging out. It could happen. Wow. I could be actually at work and it happened, which. Before it happened a couple of times where I'm at work and I had taken out the ambulance at work. Mm. And a lot of people don't understand it because people on the outside looking in is like, listen, Anthony, you know you're not having a heart attack because your doctor said it's a very low chance we have a heart attack. So for me right now, I can say, all right, I know that. I'm not going to have a heart attack. It's a very low chance of me having a heart attack. But when I'm in the middle of a panic attack, there's no telling me. I'm like,
that is incredible.
This is it. Like, this feels so real, and this is it. And I feel, just to share it real quick, the first time that I really had a really bad one, I felt bad because I was with my mom, and she's my person. That's the person I call when I have one. She's the one that calms me down. And the first time I had a major one, I accidentally, like, kind of, like, knocked her down because I was holding her. I was like, well, I don't know what's going on. Like, please help me. And I knocked her down, and I felt so bad. I usually feel like that. I feel so bad afterwards. It's like I don't have control, and then I have a couple of, you know, I've been dealing with depression, too, so that's kind of like a byproduct. I feel like a lot of depression.
I hope this show and this station bring you some joy on a daily basis.
Yeah, it does.
Honestly. Is it a distraction more than anything?
Yeah, you know, it's a good distraction. I'm happy you guys talk about it. It really helps me to, like, just listen about other experiences, and especially with Lane Johnson, which I kind of speculated anyway that he might have been going through that anyway. So I didn't want to talk. I didn't like when people were letting my friends like, oh, what's going on with Lane? Like, he's messing up. But I figured it was something like that. So I'm just happy that you're talking about it. Yeah. It might be helping people. It's helping me out a lot.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Anthony.
Good luck. Yeah, thanks for sharing.
It's a, it's just interesting to, there's no rhyme or reason. No. That's the thing that makes it such a hard thing to put a handle on.
It's an invisible monster. You know, it's just always waiting there for people.
Yeah,
you know, that's what people say is like, I never know when it's coming. I never know.
Like, it's just a normal Friday for him. He could be playing video games or he could be at work.
Yeah, it's the brain is a wild place.
Yeah, it's you know, look, people might say, what the hell's a sports talk show talking about this for? But it's an everyday life thing. You know, sports is an escape that we hope it is. And now when we see guys that do sports and women who do sports for a profession, and it's affecting them also, it just shows the reality of it all. And there's nobody that's immune to any of this. None of it. You know, there's stories that we have in our lives, you know, and our listeners, people that are here every day, you know, we know each other to say, oh, you know, Nick Sirianni needs to be better. We don't know anything about each other as far as dealing with this stuff. And we all do. And
yes,
that's the humanizing thing of it all.
George in Richmond joins us on the Fanatic. George, what's going on, brother?
Hey, guys. First time caller, long time listener. I just felt compelled to give a call today about the anxiety and to kind of describe how it feels to someone who has it pretty much on a daily basis. You know, you always tell yourself to think about all the great things in life and, you know, don't dwell on the little things because we all have troubles in our lives. And I tell myself that all the time. But the best way to describe anxiety, I guess, would be to... It kind of feels like you're climbing out of a hole of sand and you can't quite get to the top. When you talk about, you know, you have days where you feel down, I think it's the opposite for people with anxiety where they have days where they might actually be able to breathe a little bit, or moments where they can breathe a little bit.
But it's very tough, you know. It's a tough thing to have to deal with. It's not fun, and I'm proud of Lane. And, you know, thank you guys for highlighting this topic today, and I appreciate everything y'all are doing.
There you go, buddy. Thanks. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, George. Thanks for sharing, George.
That is part of it.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, it is different for every single situation.
Sure. So, I mean, some people might just have as a kid, I'll be honest, you know, not that I ever sought help or it really weighed on me, but having alopecia as a kid, I had a form of social anxiety because every room I walked into I was physically seen differently than everyone else. And, you know, emotionally that takes a toll on you, but luckily it's something, you know, a tremendous support system and family I was able to overcome, because as a kid, you don't know how to handle that. As an adult, it's a little different, but like some people might just have a social anxiety where it's something manageable that they can go on and do every day. Other people might have a more crippling anxiety that's, you know, just hits you like our buddy just said there, sitting at home Friday night on your couch alone, and it could just take you over. There's so many different varying levels of this. It's crazy. And when you think about that, it's no wonder 20% of people are affected, because there's so much variety. There's extremism, and then there's, you know, just your everyday, oh, I have anxiety because my to-do list, and it consumes you. And, you know, there's so many different levels of it. It's crazy.
Well, like if it doesn't allow you to do your job.
Sure.
Like, you remember, it's weird because I'm able to go back and look at our notes when we talked about Naomi Osaka. I was like, what did I say? I actually did things on it saying that if you can't do your job, I said she should withdraw.
Yeah, Simone Biles, physically.
She should withdraw.
She's doing a very dangerous thing. And if her body isn't physically responding because her mind is somewhere else, she could harm herself. So it was the right thing for her to do.
But part of the job, though, is doing, you withdraw from the tournament, which is exactly what I said. And I said, I'm reading here exactly what I said. You don't play the tournament and say, well, I'm not going to do any media obligations, because every player can then say, I'm not doing any media obligations. It's not being done. Then every player can say they don't meet the media obligations. Step away until you're okay, until you get the help to deal with it. And now Naomi Osaka's gotten help to deal with it.
Yeah.
How to deal with going to press conferences. How to deal with being in front of a room of people that are, she perceives, picking at her. Like picking at her, trying to put her in a bad light or portraying her in a bad light. That now she's gotten help with it. And in fact, there was a piece in July I'm reading from Time where she talks about getting help with that. So be able to deal with it. I think that's what you do. You step aside. Lane Johnson stepped aside from his job.
Sure.
Get help and then get on with it.
Yeah.
And figure out, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to function? Because for everyone, it seems like it manifests a little bit differently.
Yeah. And the thing you have to overcome is the ignorance. Like the fact that we're talking about this, that people are coming out and letting us know their stories, that gets you over the ignorance. That makes you learn that, wow, my idea on all this may have been wrong. And God forbid, thankfully, may help you in something that you're dealing with. Look, Jamie brought up the alopecia. I have a son with autism. When Tommy was diagnosed with autism, nobody knew what it was. Like, it was weird.
Well, back then, it was not even,
you know,
it was hardly being talked about, right?
Tommy's 25 years old now. Yeah, it wasn't. And so to overcome what society's perception of what's wrong with your child, our goal right away, mine and Don's, was to teach people about it. Like, to obviously we had our own things that we had to do with him, but it was also like, let's get rid of the ignorance. And there's probably many more people out there that are dealing with what you're dealing with or whatever. Getting through the ignorance, learning about what is what, learning about what Lane Johnson's going through and the other athletes and people that we've talked to today. If you can get over the ignorance and learn something about it, it just makes you better society. It helps the person that's dealing with it, and it helps you in case it ever happens to you.
Well, the big key is, too, Jamie, is that ignorance doesn't have to be a bad word. Ignorance can be, you're just oblivious. Like, you're just oblivious, exactly, to understanding, because you can't relate. Like, I can't imagine. I wake up the same way. And I guess it's a blessing when I think of it, but I also think it's a bit of a curse. I wake up the same way every day. And I need my routines, as you all know, working with me. Like, I need my routines. When my routines are disrupted, I'm not happy.
We haven't noticed.
But I wake up the same day. Wake up the exact same way, the exact same day. So, I mean, it is just, and that is the, I can't imagine if every day was
putting your feet on the ground and having to deal with this.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing. I mean, to think about that, you know, I remind myself constantly how lucky and fortunate I am as somebody that doesn't have to, but I've seen it firsthand. I know people that have gone through it, and when you know people that have gone through it and you've seen it, it makes you more fortunate, or more, you know, feeling fortunate and blessed that you don't have to, because it's something that you would wish on no one.
Luis in Cherry Hill joins us on the Fanatic. Luis, how are you?
Yes, hello. How are you guys?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Today, it's pretty much, it's the first time I've ever called. This is pretty, not pretty scary to me, but this topic, it hits really, really hard with me, because I've had anxiety for a couple years now, and seeing someone come out like that, it really it's like a comforting, you know, knowing that someone else is going through it, but...
Do your friends and family know you go through it?
Yeah, they're the reason that, you know, I try to stay, you know, hard every day in the fight, but it's really, really good knowing that other people, you know, are,
Yeah, you're not alone, buddy.
You're not alone. You're with us. Luis, hopefully a little bit of spending time with us puts a smile on your face a little bit, right?
No. Yeah. I listen to the show every day. Like, it's like religious to me, you know?
I appreciate that.
And you live in a great town.
Yeah, you live in Bobstown.
Yeah. No, I always hear, but...
Wow, don't sound so upset that we live in the same town.
No, it's a great topic in... It's really, really good. But thank you very much, guys, okay?
Yeah, have a great day,
Luis.
Good job,
Luis. Take care
of yourself, buddy.
Okay, Luis got me choked up.
Yeah, I mean, just to hear him and that passion of seeing somebody that they look up to and they, you know, watch for 4 hours, and Lane Johnson's perceived as this enormous, strong country guy that goes out and plays right tackle with a collapsed right ankle. To see him admit to these struggles is going to help a lot of people.
Yeah, that was
that Luis got me choked up.
Yeah, I don't really know how to follow that.
I don't know how honestly. To follow it either.
But look at how much that meant to him.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that right there, right? Like, I'm sure Luis is aware of other famous people that have dealt with it, but he watches Lane Johnson. I think it's everything that Jamie talked about. You know, this is a tough you know what, and he comes out and says, I'm dealing with it, and that gives the strength for Luis to make a phone call today that he'd never made before to us to tell us how much it meant to him. I mean, it's
pretty powerful.
Yeah, it is.
It's you talk about it, Pat, as a smart audience. That's a thoughtful audience. That is, because people willing to share with somebody else to help educate them, to help make them feel, is a big deal.
It's huge.
Because it sort of is a way of sort of reaching out.
Sure.
Like a lifeline to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure that's not what Lane was trying to do.
No, but Lane, I think
it probably got to the point where Lane couldn't do his job.
Probably.
And he said, I can't do it. And I got to step aside.
Yeah.
And I got to get this worked out.
That's stronger to me than bowling over any 350-pounder that's standing in front of him.
And he missed 3 games, and no one in this town gave a damn.
Imagine that. I mean, just think about
this nasty town that is so hard.
Just, you know, people always say, I wish the Phillies fans would get better. Look at how much we've evolved over the last 15, 20 years.
It's incredible.
If somebody came out on the early 90s Eagles team and said they were dealing with this.
And was missing games.
People would have been ruthless.
I can't wait to hear Lane Johnson getting announced. First home game back.
Yeah.
Hey, Staples Connect is a new world of possible. They've got innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore what's new at your local Staples store or at staplesconnect.com. We are going to have, we're getting ready to go to Vegas for the Eagles and the Raiders. And the Raiders looked interesting yesterday. Plus, we got to check the draft board and see where it is. And we'll take more of your calls at 610-632-0975. How are those draft picks looking today? It's the John Kincaid Show here on the Fanatic. I know that the Park Sportsbook app is where I want to wander with the baseball playoffs going on, with Monday Night Football, with the opportunity to get on college football this weekend and more. The Park Sportsbook app has got you covered with a risk-free bet of up to $500. Absolutely awesome. You can bet on player performances, passing and rushing yards, touchdowns, halftime score. You can bet on who scores first and more. And you can get in on the action now. New customers, sign up.
Get that risk-free bet of up to $500. It can be refunded in site credit should you miss. And the website has got terms and conditions. Download the app today. It is a fun app. It's easy to navigate. And more importantly, with the individual player performances, you can use your expertise of football to your own financial benefit. Use my promo code Kincaid, parkscasino.com/PA, or just download the app. You got to be 21 and in Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
75 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. Appreciate you finding us. Appreciate you making us a part of your routine. Want to remind you, if you have a high school senior, you need to visit collegeav.com. It's the emotional support system to help you guide through the college loan process as you begin your journey from start to finish. My high school senior, when did senioritis kick in for your daughter, Bob, who's now a college freshman? What time around did the senioritis start to really manifest?
Probably like early freshman year. Yeah,
I've been told to expect after Thanksgiving.
That's what I was going to say.
When her first trimester is over, she's like, Dad.
Once those grades are in, those are kind of the last ones.
I'm not going to be the same. I said, well, you can't become an idiot. She said, I'm not going to become an idiot. My GPA won't look like yours.
Oh,
I'm pretty dumb sometimes. How about that?
Roasted.
That's because Betty.
An idiot.
Betty kept report cards.
I found
Did
some.
Did your mom keep report cards?
Yeah, I've recently, because we've been moving my mom, found some old grade school report cards. They're pretty funny to look back on. I would suggest keeping them to people.
Betty kept them.
Yeah,
kept
now that I'm 40, reading them and looking back on them is pretty entertaining.
I should have burned them, Pat.
Oh, God, I hope to God my mother does not keep my report cards, because they weren't favorable.
I think she probably
teachers
did,
were not fans
Yeah, but the
of
notes
me.
Are the funny part.
Yeah, the
part.
Notes yeah. are the best part.
No,
yeah.
I can tell
grade
you,
school
I can
notes.
Tell you the notes. Because they were burned into my brain. It was all of disruptive in class,
right,
talks
right,
too
right.
much, talks back, has to have the last word.
That's still all the
so,
same.
So, yeah, that's exactly so, what I wrote yeah. to
led
Chuck.
Me, it led me to this, yes. this career with you, yeah. Jack Luce.
I remember Miss Pascucci, you know, up? Some of the nuns.
My parents lit their cigarettes with my report card.
Michael says, I want to say this about the topic you're on. Should this conversation be taken into consideration in how we treat our players via booze and patience through the growing process in their careers? We talked about this last week, and I got crushed for it. I believe that if you can't, like the Naomi Osaka thing, if you can't perform the duties of the job, I believe you should step away from the job. You don't do, well, I don't want to do this part of the job. No, step away, get help, and then come back and do the job. So for Ben Simmons, I said last week, if Ben Simmons comes back to work here, and let's say, by the way, it's people are assuming, oh, I think he's depressed. I think he's this. You can't diagnose the guy. And by the way, very rarely does it manifest, as Stephen pointed out, who has more letters after his last name in degrees and everything that I've seen in a long time. These don't usually end up in these convoluted, you know, campaigns to get out of town. It's usually a little bit different than this one's being executed. But I say if Ben Simmons comes back to the Sixers, it's just me. I'm going to root like hell for him and hope that he does well and never boo him.
Sure.
A boo and an introduction, I'd be fine with. Just say, Ben, you really screwed up. You screwed over the whole town. You threw us under the bus. But the minute he starts bouncing a basketball for the Sixers, I'm all in. Cheer for him, 100%.
Well, I couldn't be a hypocrite and support Lane Johnson. And this is under the assumption he does say that, which he probably won't, is my guess. Or if he's even going through stuff. But, you know, I know he's seen a sports psychologist now for, I think, dating back at least 2 years. So, you know, there is a track record he could. I hope he doesn't, unless it's real. I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't support him and I supported everyone else.
But if you wanted to work on it, there's ways to work on it. You work on it. You dedicate yourself to this is my job, this is my career,
but he could
and I
be.
Need to overcome
and
something and work on. It didn't look like his offseason was really about devoting himself to his career.
Yeah, but we're judging that off a couple Instagram posts.
A couple?
I mean, we don't know what he's doing 98% of his time.
Well, yeah, here's the difference. Like, Ben Simmons took the fight to the people of Philadelphia and to the Philadelphia 76ers organization.
Yes.
So I'm not even thinking
of, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not even thinking of anything else except for that to begin with.
And that's why I don't think he would pull that
card. I'm going to attack coach. I'm going to attack this person. I'm going to attack that person. He didn't take it as any responsibility on himself.
Yes, and that's why I don't think he would do that, because you don't do that.
I don't think he would.
If you're actually struggling, like, say, Lane is.
Rob in Warminster joins us on The Fanatic. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Rob. What's up, buddy?
So I just woke up this morning. I'm on my way to work right now, and I woke up today and saw the news about Lane Johnson. I think nowadays in professional sports, we judge these athletes like it's insane how much we judge these athletes. And just if you take an example over the last couple of months, Simone Biles, what the microscope that we had her out on our eyes, she was the most talked about person in the Olympics this year, and she barely even competed because of what she was going
through. She could have broken her back.
Exactly.
Like when she was off that day, and they said she could have broken her neck or something.
And I loved her and her when she came back, and it was like, anybody that has anything to say to me, it's like, tell my seven gold medals to like talk for me. Exactly. Like, that's like, Lane Johnson's a Super Bowl champion. Like, for anybody to give Lane Johnson crap about his mental health is just not okay in my eyes.
Well, I don't think anybody, what's good about it though, Rob, which is good, is that I don't think anybody has. I think he's gotten almost complete support. And he had a lot of people telling fake stories about him last week out in social media world, which, by the way.
Oh, lucky I didn't see any of those.
I see a lot of people on here. I hear a lot of people saying on Twitter, on our YouTube chat, saying before that, well, it's social media's fault.
I do think it's a big part of this for an athlete.
A huge part of it.
You think it's the social media's fault?
It's not their fault, but what's the woman that called us earlier? She said, you know, it's kind of in you, and then society is the gun. Like, right. The bullet is in you, the society is the gun.
Yes.
If they're consumed with, you know, checking in on themselves and name searching themselves, I can see why that would be a massive trigger.
Well, is that chicken or the egg, Pat, in your opinion, though? Because to me,
the chicken came first.
What came first?
Man. I mean, the egg. You can make a strong case.
No, but I'm saying is, there's proteins. The chicken came.
Well, no. There's proteins in an eggshell that can only come from a chicken.
There you go. So there it is. We know the chicken.
Okay, so all of a sudden Jamie goes away from
science. No, what I'm saying, as far as what came first, is it this social media? Everybody blaming social media. I got to tell you, I don't
blame it.
Maybe it's because I'm approaching it. Maybe it's because I approach it with a, where I don't have to deal with this.
I'm horrified of raising my daughters in the social media world.
Well, I can tell you,
nowadays, every young athlete grows up in the social media day and age.
That's my point. We deal with it as adults.
Well, the
kids now, you know, they're 19, 20 years old. This has been their life, has been social media.
The body dysmorphia is a real problem. That especially teenage girls that cannot allow a picture of themselves to be put on the internet without being doctored, without being thinned out, without blemishes being taken off of it.
The Instagram filters and whatnot, and making your... I mean, I'm sure we've all seen a picture of somebody on Twitter or whatnot and gone, oh, that's a filter. Like, that's heavily filtered.
You're
that's
like,
not what they look like.
Well, you meet people.
You have to look a certain way in today's society, because that's what society expects from you, weirdly enough. Because if you don't, then you're going to get ripped for it. You know, I talked about Ted Lasso earlier. To bring it back to that show, because it was a huge topic of conversation in this season, and there's one character, and he's getting praised nonstop, and every tweet, every time he opens up Twitter, he's getting praised, and he's loving it, and there's one guy who tells him he sucks, and it ruins his day.
And it screwed him up.
And I think that for a lot of athletes, yeah, that can be the case.
You got Vin on a cell joins us. Vin, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Good, buddy.
Hey, what's going on, the rest of the gang?
What's up, Vin?
Yeah, so I'm actually a truck driver. I'm
driving on the 476, and I usually don't call. The only time, I'll be honest, I usually call is like every year to get FanFest tickets. But
next year, just email. You don't even have to call. We'll get you.
No, this year I got you with the Pierce Brosnan question. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, very good. There you go.
Anyway, but I actually pulled over today because just listening to the conversation today, it really moved me. I feel like anxiety is something that is very controlling of a person. It can control their daily lives. It can make you feel, you know, it's hard for me to find the words at the moment. But for example, you know, a day can be as good as you whistling in the shower, and then by the time you get out of the shower, you're ready to crawl inside of your bed.
Okay.
Some days it's hard to find purpose in your life, and it's hard sometimes to find a way to keep going, and to hear that there's people out there that deal with the same problem is very touching. That's, I just want to say I appreciate you guys.
Vin, you're a brave man, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, you're loved,
and
Vin.
And we got your back, Vin. We got your back.
I just appreciate you guys for bringing the topic to light. And I believe it was you who just said that you don't understand, that you don't really understand how people get like anxiety to social media, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I did. I'm like, I can't relate to that. I can relate to getting angry about something, sure.
No. I can kind of give you an opening to it. Not that I deal with that type personally, but I actually understand it more. See, from your perspective, I will see it as if, like, you know, you would use your social media for business. I will say that the generation growing up now is somewhat part of my generation. They don't use social media for mostly business. To them, social media is almost in a sense of validation of their lives. Like, they're judging their lives and they're judging their validation of their self-worth based on how many likes they get on a simple picture. And that's ridiculous to me. You know what I mean?
That is the truth.
Because now the world is just revolving around social media. Like, you know, I'm 28 years old, and I wish I was growing up in the 90s or in the early 2000s where people actually socialized. People actually know how to interact. And now, well, the point I'm getting to is, you know, if this society is just living in the phone all day, where their life revolves around the phone all day, they're never going to have, in a sense, you know, they can have everybody on their phone but have nobody in their lives. And now, once they realize that, they have this extreme disconnect in their minds where now, you know, anxiety or depression is going to come up because they feel as if, oh, wow, I'm so popular on the phone, but now in real life, you know.
Yeah.
Good job. Very appreciate it, buddy.
I don't value my life on that, but I just have an understanding of how bad, you know, some of these people will work. But anyway,
very well said.
I thank you guys for bringing up this topic on anxiety and depression, and I feel like it really should be talked about. Thank you, Lane, for bringing this into light. And, you know.
Thanks, Vin.
Well, I
got
to say.
All the best to you, buddy.
We got you, Vin. We got you. We're here for you. You just call us up. If you have one of those days, you call us up. We'll get it straight out because we're so smart, Vin.
I'll call next year around all.
Yeah. We'll I got four tickets for you right now, Vin. Don't you worry about it.
I'm telling you.
That might be the line of the day. Everybody has a lot of people on their phone and no one in their lives.
Yeah.
Wow. That's. And look, John, you say you don't understand that. I don't understand. You and I are older than the guys here. Yeah, social media doesn't rule my life.
Sure.
When I was back, you know, doing what I did before and I would get hate emails and stuff like that, I could ignore it. I could push it aside. People today can't because it's so much more there. And you and I don't understand it because we're not that big. I know I'm not that big into the social media. But it's a true thing. It's ignorance on my part, not understanding, like, why can't you just go away from it? But when you're brought up, if you're 18, 19, 20, whatever, that's all you know.
I see. I try to answer. You meet some really nasty son of a on people on Twitter.
Sure.
I try to meet them with humor.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a defense mechanism on my part.
Probably.
But I try to just diffuse them and go like, "What? Why are you so angry, dude?
Yeah.
Find some peace." Or I try to say, if they call you a bunch of names, you try to say, "Yeah, you're right. I am pretty."
Yeah.
You put like a self-effacing thing. You just try to go,
but not, you know.
Don't try to escalate it more. Then you get people, though, just last week, had a complete a-hole on email.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Pat. It was the email, but I complained to management. You worked it out. You apologize. Okay. I had a complete email, a listener, a complete a-hole, and somebody literally attacking me at every piece of the court, even with misinformation. And I just said, I'm just like, dude, you would not talk to me like this.
No.
In front of me.
No, not at all.
You would not talk to me like this.
And like Jalen Reagor is an example I'll use here because he's what, 22?
Yes, he lives in it.
He can't
put it down.
So to you not understanding it, try to put yourself in his shoes. And do these guys search their names on Twitter? Yeah, they do, because it's kind of a natural thing. I've learned to, you know, not read comment sections and God forbid never search my name or anything like that. But I'm not on anywhere near a level of a football player. If he typed his name in a Twitter search bar, he would see some vile, disgusting things said about him. And that's hard as a 22-year-old to just shake off. Like, you can try to be the cool, tough guy football player that goes, oh, I'm going to go ball out this Sunday. That goes into like a bag that you're wearing on your belt, and that gets heavier and heavier and heavier.
But it drags you down. If you listen to people who hate on you, if you listen to people who despise you, and you let them create the narrative for your life, you're giving them the forum to just.
Again, 22 years old. It's a hard thing to compartmentalize. That rational thinking.
And probably the only time he's ever gotten hate tweets are from opposing fan bases. You know, now he's getting it from a fan base that wants Justin Jefferson.
Wow. Yeah.
I get it. I mean, this is a guy who's deleted his Twitter account, what, twice now?
And then comes back.
Yeah, it comes back. But yeah, because you take a reprieve and then you come back. But
I mean,
we have one in here too. Andrew says living out loud is a real thing and it's a real problem. And he said the most people who try to constantly show you on social media how beautiful their life is, their life isn't. He said that's usually the case. The people who have to look at this spectacular thing that's going on. Look at this opulence. Look at this. Oh, man, balling out. While Philadelphia was complaining, I can see Ben. When Philadelphia's complaining about Ben, he's saying, look how good my life is. This girl's great. Wimbledon's fun. My birthday party's great. My Lamborghini is great.
But don't let that...
My house is great.
Fool you. He's searching his own name and seeing all the hate.
And that's what it is. But he's constantly...
But he's countering it with looking how great my life is.
He's saying what Andrew is saying here. The guy who's living out loud like that, he's saying, my life is great. My house is great. My car is great. And you people are losers. And look what I got. And you can't criticize me. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anthony!
What's up, brothers?
Good to see you.
What's up, man? Andy's gorgeous.
Yeah, she's cool. We're going to keep it.
I didn't say she's cool. We haven't judged her. She's beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, it was a great week.
Very pretty baby.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And as you guys know, seeing an older sibling love on a little sibling.
Oh, that's great. Cool. That picture's beautiful.
My heart exploded many thousand times.
Yeah. So when they're fighting later in life,
I got to think back to last week.
The greatest thing is, and this is a truism, Bob, you could speak to this in a lot of ways, and Johnny, I know you have it inside you as well.
What's that?
So when Anthony was born, I never thought I could love any person, anything more than Anthony. And so I wondered that when Massimo was being born.
Yeah.
And like all of a sudden your heart expounds. And it's limitless. And all of a sudden, like, that love is the same for, like, you didn't think you had it inside you for more than one. And it just multiplies.
Knowing they have each other.
Yeah.
Like, knowing your children have each other. I have an only.
Right.
So, and we worry about her being alone.
Yeah.
If anything happened to us, even though we have a big extended family. We worry about her not having it. You look at your siblings.
But I was talking about more like from the parent to, like, you know, Bobby. You know, we're having multiples.
That's weird because I don't know where we were. And I swear to God, this came up last week. I think I was messing around with Jenna talking about something stupid. But I did say to her, I said, you don't know how much love you can have in your heart.
Yes.
Like, you don't know. It's I swear to God, thing. I said the exact thing to her because we were teasing about her saying we like somebody better than the other. And I said, no, but you just don't know how much love you can have in your heart.
Exactly.
And every time a kid's born, it grows that much more. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's funny you brought that up.
I can't imagine the amount of time that I concern myself worried about my daughter.
Sure.
If I had to do it four times over. if I had to do it two times over. Because I just say, oh my gosh. Like, and I am a very, as my daughter told me over the weekend compared to my wife, I'm a very, Dad, you let me live. Dad, you let me go. You want me to fly out of the nest. You want me to experience things. But she doesn't understand that I want to be there if she falls.
Sure.
To pick her up and dust her off. But I want her to fall. Yeah. I want her to get out there and make mistakes. I want her to get out there and live. My wife's more of the nurturing.
Right.
You know, want to protect. I can't imagine you do it with two. And now Jamie's got the responsibility of two.
Yeah.
And Bob with four.
I know. It's amazing.
Jeez. Bob needed board games.
Too many beers.
you needed board games. Monopoly or something.
But it's the greatest thing. Friday night, I take Massimo to the Flyers game.
That was awesome.
Right? So we met Bobby and Chuck and Tyrone. And everybody was awesome. Tunis was hanging. It was a great time. All the significance. And then Saturday night, Anthony had a football game. It was pouring rain.
Oh.
If I told you torrential rain.
See a mutter?
It was a mutter. Right?
And how did he react?
Well, it was funny because they played a great team. The team was like awesome.
Okay.
Like, they were physical. They were awesome. And like, his first year playing, I'm going, sure. How's this going to work? and he survived.
Look.
And I was like, when my wife goes, they're going to cancel the game, right? I said, no, it's football. Right? Like, it's supposed to be playing.
Best times as a kid was playing football.
Exactly.
On the
yeah. I was telling him.
I love
it. And I go, dude, it's fun. It's a blast. Listen, I was standing out there. I know, you know me, I don't have a.
He didn't bring your hat on.
I got nothing. I stood there.
Because look like a drowned rat.
2.5 hours just soaked. My money's still wet.
And you loved it.
Still loved it.
See? I'm sure you're going to handle the Lane Johnson story.
Yes, you guys did a great job. Great job.
We talked about that today. It was a good show today. A lot of fun. And the listeners made it today. And there are days where we hope to entertain you, and then there are days where you can educate us, and you can share your points of view, and it really brings a lot to the table. We sort of went off the show sheet, which, of course, gives me another level of like, oh, my gosh, look at all the things we didn't get to. Well, we can get to them tomorrow. This was more important at the time. See, I'm growing, bub. Like last week, when I was totally calm, when we weren't in this, you know, hey, I learn every day from you guys. You're the best, and our audience is fantastic. Remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, Adam Mechanical, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. I think the listeners today said it all. We say, we'll see you tomorrow, 6 a.m., John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.